the book that's due for publication tomorrow. It was only ever a ceasefire. Is that about to cease?
Terrorists fired an anti-tank missile and gunfire towards our troops operating in the area of Rafah. Now, in response, the IDF began striking in the area to eliminate the threat.
That's a spokesperson for the Israeli government. Two Israeli soldiers allegedly killed, 44 killed on the other side. In other news,
French police are looking for a gang of raiders following the theft of priceless jewels from the Louvre. I'm Peter Allen, reporting for LBC in Paris.
Yes, looting at the Louvre. Past the introduction of V for vocation levels. You hear from the Education Secretary as to how that will change the landscape in the sphere of education. Those stories and more follow the 7 o'clock news on LBC.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 7 o'clock, Israeli troops have resumed enforcement of the Gaza ceasefire after it was seriously tested over the weekend. The IDF carried out a series of airstrikes yesterday, which Palestinian officials say killed dozens of people. Forces say they were targeting Hamas targets following the deaths of two Israeli troops in Rafah. Former Middle East Minister Alistair Burt says it was always likely the truce would break down in some form.
There have always been concerns that there are many spoilers in the area, determined to keep the conflict going one way or another. There will be a lot of fingers pointed at the Israelis as to whether they have encouraged this, certainly far-right ministers. Equally, there will be those who will say that there are factions either within Hamas or other groups in Gaza wanting to keep the conflict going.
The Metropolitan Police is under pressure to begin a full inquiry into claims Prince Andrew asked a police officer to dig up dirt on Virginia Giuffre. Scotland Yard says it's actively looking into the allegations. LBC's Fraser Knight has more.
The Mail on Sunday claimed Andrew had handed personal information about his accuser over to his taxpayer-funded bodyguard in 2011, asking them to look into her, which the former head of the Met Royal Protection Team says amounts to aiding and abetting misconduct in a public office. Scotland Yard is now facing calls to bring the Royal in for questioning under caution, while the Palace is bracing for more damaging headlines with the posthumous release of Virginia Giuffre's memoir.
Prince Andrew, who hasn't commented on the latest reports, has always denied wrongdoing. A new post-GCSE qualification is to be rolled out in an overhaul of the education system in England. Pupils aged 16 to 19 will be able to access vocational V levels, replacing level 3 BTECs and other technical qualifications. The Tel Aviv football derby between Maccabi and Hapoel was called off last night after clashes between fans. Israeli police say violent riots and serious disorder led to the decision. And French police are continuing the search for a gang of thieves who targeted the Louvre in broad daylight. The masked suspects stole priceless jewellery from the Paris Museum yesterday morning. In the city, the FTSE 100 will reopen this morning at 93.54 after closing down 81 on Friday. The pound buys $1.34 and a euro 14. LBC weather, sunny spells and heavy showers across England and Wales, drier in Northern Ireland and Southern Scotland. A high of 16 degrees. From Global newsroom for LBC. I'm Thomas Watt.
As a small business owner, you've got to be ready for the ups and the downs. Ready to think on your feet, ready to be rushed off your feet, ready to make the big decisions and make the tea. Two sugars in mind? Tough. Ready to be there for your customers whenever they need you? Well, ditto. Virgin Media Broadband's ready for anything business can throw at it. Yeah, it's business ready broadband. Search Virgin Media Business Broadband.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
Good morning, 3 minutes after seven, Monday, October the 20th. Sweating yet, Andrew? You should be. Police investigations on both sides of the Atlantic, and I'll explain the supposed offence he's committed as he asks his police detail here to try and dig up dirt on the woman, of course, who's accused him of all that sexual malpractice accusations, I have to say, that he denies. But where should the king go now? As growing sentiment seems to be, all right, he's given up the Duke of York and various other royal titles and colonel-in-chief of various regiments, but it's planned to be just plain Andrew, isn't it? We'll look at that in more detail. Another big story from last week, the idea that some Israeli football fans can't come to Birmingham to watch a game at Aston Villa. Energy Secretary Ed Miliband told Sky News yesterday,
"We cannot have a situation where any area is a no-go area for people of a particular religion or from a particular country. And we've got to stamp out all forms of prejudice wherever we find them."
Fears that the ceasefire will cease. Remember, it was never a peace deal. It was only a ceasefire, but it would appear the numbers are 2 Israeli soldiers dead, 44 people killed in Gaza. President Trump, of course, who engineered that ceasefire, said,
"We want to make sure that it's going to be very peaceful with Hamas. They've been doing some shooting, and we think maybe the leadership isn't involved in that, you know, some rebels within. Either way, it's going to be handled properly."
Gone in 7 minutes and looting at the Louvre. How exactly did they pull it off? We'll give you a report in the first hour of the show. And as you heard on the LBC News Bulletin, get ready for so-called V levels. Addressing the Labour Party conference last month, Prime Minister Sir Keir Starmer said the goal for 50% of young adults to attend university is no longer, to use his words, right for our times, adding,
"I don't think the way we currently measure success in education, that ambition to get 50% of kids to uni, I don't think that's right for our time."
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973. Text 84850. Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
Monumental development since we last spoke concerning Prince Andrew, because that's all he is now. The Duke of York title has gone, the Knight Grand Cross of the Royal Victorian Order, the Royal Knight Companion of the Most Noble Order of the Garter, and on and on, another earlships. It just went on and on. Now he is just plain Prince Andrew. But for many, including it would appear a growing number of MPs, that is too much. Where are you on this? The book is to be published. Already some media organisations have got their hands on copies of it. Nobody's Girl, a memoir of suffering, abuse and fighting for justice by Virginia Giuffre, in which she claims she had sex with Prince Andrew on 3 occasions, one of which was at a multiple orgy with Andrew and Epstein on an island involving Giuffre and, she thinks, 6 to 7 other young girls, some of them, she believed, underage, most of whom did not have a great command of English. That's from the book. I need to say, Prince Andrew denies all these allegations. But that's, my friend, the level of potential criminality, at which we find ourselves. He's also in trouble, just straightforward, with police forces. Is it right that he instructed one of his protection team to try and dig up dirt on Giuffre? That's an offence this side of the water. Is it right that he shared her what they call social security number, we would call it national insurance number, with that police officer, because that's an offence, the other side of the Atlantic, with possibly 15 years in jail if you share someone's SS or social security number. That's made worse yesterday by one of the newspapers, The Mail on Sunday, about this idea of a smear campaign against Miss Giuffre, who, remember, claimed she was trafficked by paedophile Jeffrey Epstein and abused by Prince Andrew when she was just 17. In one email, Andrew tells an aide he'd given her personal details, as I say, to one of the protection officers or prot officers. So let's go back briefly to that now infamous interview in 2019 with journalist Emily Maitlis.
One of Epstein's accusers, Virginia Roberts, yeah, has made allegations against you. She says she met you in 2001. She says she dined with you, danced with you at Tramp nightclub in London. She went on to have sex with you in a house in Belgravia belonging to Ghislaine Maxwell, your friend. Your response?
I have no recollection of ever meeting this lady. None whatsoever.
You don't remember meeting her?
No.
Now, as I've said, the Prince gave up that Duke of York title and a string of others, and speaking with my LBC colleague Lewis Goodall yesterday, the government minister on the round was Energy Secretary Ed Miliband, who supported the move.
I think it's definitely the right thing to do. And look, all of my thoughts this morning are with the family of Virginia Giuffre, and indeed all of the victims of Jeffrey Epstein. And I think it's absolutely right that Prince Andrew gave up his titles. I do think, as a government minister, you know, it's right to let the royal family make these decisions. But I think what happened on Friday is a recognition of the depths of concern there is about some of these, well, indeed many of these allegations.
Pressure is growing, though, for the government to go further. Technically, Andrew retains the dukedom, which can only be removed by an act of parliament, and there are growing calls for MPs for Sir Keir Starmer to pass a law to strip him of this. One of the MPs pressuring the government is Rachel Maskell, the independent MP for York Central, and she told LBC,
when polled, back in 2022, 80% of residents in my city said they wanted that link broken. And at that point, I researched how that could be so, because we will remember back that the Queen removed many titles from the Duke of York, as he was known at the time, but not the dukedom. And the reason being, because there is a mechanism to give somebody the title of Duke, but not to remove it. And that still stands today, and why legislation is needed. The fact that Andrew, I guess he's called now, is not using the title Duke doesn't mean that he doesn't hold that title. And I think we need to close this business down and to ensure that we remove that title.
To Roya Nikar, who's Royal Editor of the Sunday Times and co-hosts The Royals podcast, joining me now. Roya, Andrew Lowney says the mechanics by which he could be stripped of being Prince Andrew are fairly straightforward. Is that your view? Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. Well, I mean, I've been reading all around it for the last few days, obviously, as soon as we got the news on Friday night that he was going to, quote-unquote, voluntarily relinquish them. It is doable, it is possible. There are a growing number of MPs, as you've just mentioned, who pointed out that actually the mechanics are not that difficult and it would only take a few weeks to pass through. I think the nervousness on both sides is that, you know, the issues around Prince Andrew at that point, if a bill is presented, could be debated in Parliament. Obviously, you know, at the moment, no one ever mentions his name. There's a total omerta over it. So it is doable. I think, you know, let's see how the cards fall over the next few days. But it's absolutely clear from everything that's emerged over the weekend and will continue to emerge, I suspect, from the Epstein files in America, that there is more to come.
I've been obviously reading as well, not as closely as you, Roy, because this is your world, but I read that actually it's Prince William who's taking the hard line here. The king is relatively better disposed towards his brother and is also mindful of Eugenie and Beatrice.
I think William is certainly mindful of his cousins. You know, he's very close to them still. I think there's no doubt William supported the move last week, but as you probably read on the front cover of the Sunday Times written by me, I think he is not satisfied with how things are still, which is, you know, Andrew does, as you say, retain all those titles. He is still at Royal Lodge. And so it's my understanding, you know, the one place he won't be is at William's coronation, whenever that happens. It's very hard to, I think it's a slightly, not easy, but it's harder for the king to deal with his brother than it is for potentially Prince William down the line with his uncle. But, you know, who knows what's going to happen over the next few days and weeks. The worst thing about all of this for the royal family, of course, they're thinking about the victims of Virginie Giuffre. Prince Andrew didn't for way too long, is that it is completely overshadowing their work. And today, the king, hasn't been announced yet, but the king is doing some very significant engagements today, very significant moving, which will be overshadowed by this.
Lastly, there's some reason that he can't be evicted from Windsor. Is it written in trust or something? This seems fairly unbreakable.
Well, it's a really interesting point. I mean, everyone, you know, the reason bandied around for so long is he has a cast iron lease with the Crown Estate. Well, the Crown Estate is now coming under a lot of pressure to publish that lease in full so that people can see, A, if there's any break clause, and B, if there's any clause in there about, you know, bringing the Crown Estate or whatever into disrepute. I think it's hard to see how he's going to be able to stay there for the long term with all of this swirling around.
Very busy week ahead of you. Thank you, Roya Nikar, your Royal Editor of the Sunday Times. You co-host the Royals podcast, 13 After 7. Listening to that is Di Davis, former head of Royal Protection, former Chief Superintendent for the Metropolitan Police. Obviously, I've been reading some of your comments over the weekend, Mr. Davis. Start off by explain the relationship between one of the officers involved and the person they are looking after, in this case, Prince Andrew. How does that relationship function? Morning.
Well, good morning to you, Nick. Essentially, each senior royal has a team. A team of officers that we call personal protection officers. The king has the king protection officer. They're normally very senior officer. In Andrew's case, he has had protection 24/7 since he was born. And that continued until fairly recently, et cetera. It is a close, trusting relationship. I didn't do it personally, but I had teams that did it. And I know the officers who did it. As far as I am concerned, they are of the highest integrity. But over the years, some of them, I have to say, it appeared to me, got sometimes too close to their principles. But that was rare. Most of them, as far as I was aware, kept a professional distance and did their job, which is to protect.
Di, did they go off to work for Prince Andrew with a song in their heart, or was it seen as one of the more tougher assignments to have him as your principal?
When I was there, he'd had two, chief inspector and inspector and a team of sergeants, etc. And they had been with him for a long time. They knew him well, could deal with his tantrums. They could deal with all manner of allegations that were made. And they were down-to-earth, sensible men. They were men. I was aware there was, a female sergeant who was on the team, but females in my day were relatively rare in protection. But they were selected because of their abilities on a wide range of fronts. They are highly trained, diplomatic, and can work without reference back to senior officers.
How fair, lastly, is it to suggest, Di, then, that the former colleagues of yours, so their reputation is not sullied in any way, shape or form, formal police questioning now of Andrew must take place?
Yes, and I was lucky enough to go on Newsnight a few days after his notorious interview, and I called then to ask why the Met didn't investigate the three allegations she had made to them. There may have been good reasons. Some of it was that they didn't have jurisdiction. I took exception to that because a British citizen, if you traffic anyone for sex anywhere, can be held responsible. However, that put it aside. The latest information we have clearly shows that if, and I say if it's true, and if there is evidence, then he and many others in the palace should be investigated. Who knew? Who did what? Etc., etc. If a police officer did it, it's malfeasance in public office, breach of data protection, and so on and so forth. Very serious offences, as far as I'm concerned.
Grateful for your time, Di. We'll leave it there. Di Davis was head of Royal Protection and served as Chief Superintendent in the Met. Very simple question. There's no in-betweens. Time to take the Prince title away from Andrew. Your views after this. Plus, a looting at the Louvre.
We walked out of the room of the Mona Lisa. There were security people. They shouted to us, "You have to move this place. You have to be quick, fast, run."
Pierre was one of the tourists caught up in that incident, and we'll hear from our own Pierre Allen later in the hour. It's 7:16 LBC News Headlines. Thomas Watts.
The Israeli military says a ceasefire in Gaza has resumed after an uncertain weekend for the fragile truce. There are calls for a thorough investigation into allegations Prince Andrew asked a police officer to dig up dirt on Virginia Giuffre. A new V-level qualification is to be rolled out in an overhaul of the post-16 education system in England. LBC weather, sunny spells and heavy showers across England and Wales, drier in Northern Ireland and southern Scotland, a high of 16 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. Long delays continue on the Essex stretcher, the M25, clockwise to junction 27 at the M11. Just after the junction, there's been an accident. Traffic's being held and there are queues for about 3 miles on the approach. And then anti-clockwise, it's very slow to junction 28 at the A12 because of the new slip road. It has now reopened, but it's very busy back to junction 29 at the A127. In Richmond, George Street is blocked northbound, and that's because a bus has broken down. On the trains, no Gatwick Express service is running at all. The entire network is suspended. And on London Overground, there are severe delays on the Mildmay line between Wilton Junction and Richmond.
This is LBC.
Build your own package with TUI. Let's go. City break or a beach escape. Lovely. Fly from your local airport.
Taxi's here.
Handy. Any day of the week. Ideal. On a TUI flight or a partner airline.
This is your captain speaking.
Nice. How many nights? 3? 5? 14? Perfect. More options, more choice. All wrapped up with a TUI smile. TUI. Live happy. Atoll and Abtu protected. Booking T's and C's apply.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060 973. This is LBC.
Sharing intimate photos of her without her consent.
Unwanted touching. Unwanted comments. Unwanted nudes.
Controlling what she can and can't wear.
Controlling who she can and can't see.
Threatening her.
Enough. This is abuse.
If you think it's wrong, act on it.
Call it out, show support, report it.
There are many ways you can safely tackle violence against women and girls. Find out how at gov.uk/enough. If someone is in danger, call 999.
Fraud can happen faster than you think. But at Barclays, we use innovative technology
that spots fraud in under a second. And our dedicated team of experts work 24/7. So you can go about your day knowing we never stop working to keep you and your money safe. Search Barclays Fraud Protection to see how you can stay one step ahead. Barclays, make money work for you.
You know how fans shout at football matches?
Oh, wake up!
That's because sound is the most effective way to tell the players they're rubbish. Works in advertising too. Because when you amplify your advertising using radio, your campaign is 49% more likely to get noticed. See radio differently at radiocentre.org.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
With cybersecurity from BT. Protecting businesses of all sizes against cyber threats.
20 minutes after 7, well, you can probably guess which one most of your front pages this morning. Craig, you'll be the first caller of this. And if the royal family were hoping that Prince Andrew's view of voluntarily giving up a slew of titles and other decorations and military positions as well was going to make the storm go away, I'm afraid they're far from that at all. The Daily Mail, King's threat to shame Andrew by stripping titles. This is the idea that he will go further and take more action, taking all his royal titles off. Remember, effectively, Andrew has stood back from. It would actually, according to, as I say again, royal biographer Andrew Lowney, it's a relatively straightforward process to officially remove him of the dukedom. This is front page. There's his picture on the front page of the Daily Telegraph, although they go with Donald Trump and his view on what the progress or lack of that's being made in Kyiv. Front page of the Daily Mirror also giving the problems that scandal with no end is what they say as regards Prince Andrew's conditional situation as well. Only the even the front page of The Guardian, I'm so sorry, just a couple of paragraphs. MPs urged to remove Andrew's royal titles. Even they go with it. And I think all the team at The Guardian would admit they're not possibly doing as many royal stories as most other newspapers do. It is the front page of the LBC app. The aspect that we've just discussed, Met under pressure to launch criminal probe into Andrew over claims he used police bodyguard to smear accuser. Let's take one other one at random. Let's go to The Independent. And we are indeed going to this story later in this hour, actually, I think. This is the thieves steal priceless jewels from Louvre in daring daylight heist. And we'll have more on that in, I don't know, a little bit later in this hour. OK, so to move now by the King, or possibly Parliament, strip him of all his titles. Craig's in Liverpool. Craig, you're on the radio. Would you support that? Good morning.
Hi, absolutely. Yes, I think when we look at it these days, in terms of innocent or proven guilty, that applies to everyone. Mm-hmm. But just by removing a title, so he's duped him, he's still referred to as Prince mm-hmm. Andrew. And that's what so many people see, people as princes and princesses. The dukeism isn't necessarily referred to. So in a way, just by removing that seems like a bit of an airbrush.
Well, you'd like to make him just Andrew Windsor, effectively.
It should be Andrew Windsor, yes. Totally stripped of it. And as a member, I say a member, of somebody who was who went through abuse as a younger man.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
It's okay. I'm ordained and I've spent my life nursing and I'm over that now.
Right.
But I understand how rings of people work. And it's so difficult to prove. But if the Duke of York...
Well, we don't need to call him that anymore. We can just call him Andrew, I think.
The inverted commas.
Yeah.
You know, is innocent, then why doesn't he say, look, okay then, let me go to being Andrew until I'm proven not guilty?
Well, remember there was an out-of-court settlement in the United States. While, of course, Andrew maintained his innocence and denied wrongdoing, he still made a settlement believed to be in the region of £12 million. Craig, how important is it to know who paid that £12 million? Sorry, it might be $12 million. I think it's $12 million. My apologies. How important is it to find out where that $12 million came from?
Well, one does question if... So, I have this question about the $200 or £157 roughly paid for massages. Now, I find that a very interesting way that people haven't questioned that, you know, if you had a masseur coming to an island, then that would be a reasonable price to and then it would go on their books quite normally as a massage. That would look quite legitimate. So then you're acknowledging that person's come and they've given you a service.
Well, I don't think anything went on particularly legitimate on that island that Epstein had. And I think everything was quite almost literally off the books. Craig, thank you for your input. Just need to say, of course, Prince Andrew denies any of those sexual allegations. Need to get that out there, the story. We will return to that in just a moment. Now, around a week ago, there was great hope that that ceasefire would be in place. But remind you, of course, it was only ever a ceasefire. It wasn't a peace deal. But now there are headlines suggesting that there's desperate attempts to try and shore up that ceasefire. Shosh Bedrosian is spokesperson for the Israeli government, giving this update yesterday.
Terrorists fired an anti-tank missile and gunfire towards our troops operating in the area of Rafah to dismantle terrorist infrastructure, all in accordance with the ceasefire agreement. Now, in response, the IDF began striking in the area to eliminate the threat.
Now, responding to the weekend's airstrikes, President Trump, who proposed and worked hard on that agreement, says everyone does want peace in the region.
We want to make sure that it's going to be very peaceful with Hamas. And as you know, they've been quite rambunctious. They've been doing some shooting, and we think maybe the leadership isn't involved in that, you know, some rebels within. But either way, it's going to be handled properly.
Laser Berman is diplomatic correspondent for the Times of Israel, joins us now from Jerusalem. Thanks for coming on. Laser, what do you understand the situation to be this morning? Morning to you.
Morning. Good morning. I think it's actually much more fragile, certainly, than President Trump is saying. It's not just that Hamas is being, quote unquote, rambunctious. The way they've been behaving over the past week is that they really don't think that they signed a surrender document, which is the way Israel and Trump were talking about it. Trump said in the Knesset to Israel that you have won. And that's a quote. Hamas has been really slow rolling the release of these slain hostages. They've only released 12 of the 28, and they were supposed to release them in the first 72 hours. They've been parading around. They put their uniforms back on now that the fighting is over, been parading around armed. They've been executing anyone they say is, you know, opposes their rule in the streets, and have been filming it. And of course, there was a series of attacks yesterday in southern Gaza in IDF-controlled territory. So if I sum that up, I think the trajectory of this ceasefire is not going anywhere that makes me think that it's going to that is likely to hold up. That is why Trump's big guns are coming. That's why you have Steve Witkoff on his way today, Jared Kushner on his way today, and Vice President J.D. Vance. We're expecting to see him this week as well, expecting to see him tomorrow. So I think Trump understands that this is much more precarious than he might let on, and therefore he has to do a lot of shoring up right now.
What do those three men need to do, Laser?
They first of all want to make sure that they're coordinated with Israel and make sure that Israel that does not go, that even stops its military response. So there were some bombings, as you alluded to, throughout the Gaza Strip. But they basically got Israel to shut them down very quickly, and even got Israel to, after threatening that humanitarian aid would not go in today and that the Rafah crossing would not open, they got Israel to back down from that about an hour after Israeli sources were saying we're going to stop, you know, most of the aid and we're not going to open up the crossing. Israel is back on track to do that. So they're basically making sure that Israel is not really taking any action against Hamas in response to the attacks. But I think and I hope that they make it clear to Hamas that the military option remains on the table. Even though Trump has been talking about the end of the war, the IDF is still in the Gaza Strip. And if Hamas is going to act like they didn't lose the war, or if that they can control the Gaza Strip on the day after, then that military threat could indeed be enacted. A credible military threat, I think, is the way to ensure that there is a chance for peace.
Lastly, how confident are you that Hamas might listen?
Well, they're playing a game right now. They certainly are attentive when Trump threatens them. So I think they will dial it back in the coming days. But you're going to see a pattern of them testing boundaries. Whenever they see even a sliver of daylight between the Israeli position and the American position, they'll push on that. And they will try to argue that they'll interpret the terms of the deal in ways that meet their interests and in their eyes guarantee their survival, because that is their goal here.
Grateful for your time this morning. Thanks, Laser. Laser Berman is diplomatic correspondent for the Times of Israel, joining us from Jerusalem. Let's just fit in a couple of the many emails and texts that are coming in concerning Prince Andrew. Yes, Albert in Croydon says, Andrew would appear to be a proven liar. The police must bring him in for questioning. Furthermore, the king should okay it because he's slowly destroying the royal family. He is a disgrace. Vivian says, these Labour MPs are in disgust over Andrew. It's a shame they didn't react the same way to grooming gangs going on in some instances under their own noses. And John simply says, all titles must go. Just have him as plain Andrew and ship him off to some distant colonial outpost. All right, do keep them coming. And coming up after the news...
French police are looking for a gang of raiders following the theft of priceless jewels from the Louvre. I'm Peter Allen, reporting for LBC in Paris.
Plus, in the world of business...
New gambling taxes are an odds-on favourite for the Chancellor's budget next month, but betting bosses say it would banish them from the high street. I'm Christian May from City AM, and I'll be discussing this with Nick shortly.
And in the world of education, these new V levels, V as in vocational, we'll have the Education Secretary later in this hour. 7:30, breakfast with me, Nick Ferrari, here on LBC. News time, Thomas Watts.
The Israeli military says the ceasefire in Gaza has resumed after an uncertain weekend for the fragile truce. Forces carried out a series of airstrikes yesterday in response to the deaths of two IDF troops in anti-tank fire in Rafah. Police are being urged to open a full inquiry into claims Prince Andrew tried to obtain personal information about Virginia Giuffre. Scotland Yard says it's actively looking into reports Andrew asked a protection officer to dig up dirt on his accuser. A new V-level qualification is to be rolled out in an overhaul of the education system in England. It's designed to bring together the hundreds of vocational qualifications available to pupils aged 16 to 19. LBC weather. Sunny spells and heavy showers across England and Wales. Drier in Northern Ireland and Southern Scotland. A high of 16 degrees.
Tom Swarbrick, Monday to Friday from 4 p.m.
The price of electricity could fall to zero and your bills would still need to go up by 20% over the next 4 or 5 years. But I just don't understand why we need to do it, certainly green the electricity grid, by 2030.
Tom Swarbrick, with cybersecurity from BT. Security solutions, built for businesses. LBC.
Trains are three bridges for two adults, one skeleton and one fairy werewolf, as you do.
Just one pumpkin each, kids! Charlie, not that one, mate. It's nearly as big as you.
Back on the train with two little monsters and a couple of pumpkins. Now off home to spend a good 3 hours carving. Download the Thameslink Railway app to book kids' tickets for £2 on off-peak journeys. Thameslink Railway, where every stop is a story.
So, what's on your to-do list today? Why don't you check if you're eligible for pension credit? It tops up your pension income and also opens up help with heating bills, council tax, and more. Search pension credit on gov.uk or call 0800 99 1234. There's nothing to lose. Check today. Pension credit. Credit where credit's due. Eligibility criteria apply.
Half term is here. I've 100% got this. They will keep a lid on the glitter and they will not ambush my work calls. But if all else fails, McDonald's deal drop.
Get 15% off the whole menu when you spend £15 on food and drink. Redeem this half term only on the McDonald's app. Fees apply to delivery. 18 plus, one time use per week until the 2nd of November. Participating restaurants, T's and C's apply.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
With cyber security from BT. Solutions to help any size business stay protected.
7:33, come back to your reactions concerning Andrew. Prince Andrew, certainly not the Duke of York, in a moment or two. What is the future for that? And then coming up later in the hour, the idea of these V levels, vocational levels, Education Secretary Bridget Phillipson will join us for that. Into the world of business. Now, Christian May is editor-in-chief at City AM. There's a headline saying that the days of fun could be over. I think a lot of my listeners and your readers at City AM aren't having a lot of fun anyway, but what's the headline the story's talking about? Good morning to you, Christian.
Good morning, Nick. Yes, I mean, if you can believe it, the budget is still 6 weeks away. No, 5 weeks away, I think. But you can imagine the lobbying efforts from different businesses, different trade groups, different firms and sectors are now getting their letters and their representations into the Treasury, perhaps none more urgently so than the gaming and betting industry, and we've talked before about some of the government's moves to hike the levies on horse racing, for example, but much more broadly than that, Rachel Reeves is poised to increase the duties on sports betting from about 15% to 30%, and on machine and online slots from 20% up to 50%. Now, this would be following the advice of former Prime Minister and former Chancellor Gordon Brown, whose government, of course, with Tony Blair, relaxed the gambling rules in this country quite dramatically. Since when, we have seen a great explosion of such firms on the high street and indeed online. That would be a pretty substantial tax increase on a sector, there's no doubt about it. Gordon Brown says you've got to do it and you can use the money to alleviate child poverty, perhaps scrap the two-child benefit cap. The Chancellor is quite taken with this idea, but the business chiefs and the founders behind some of these big betting firms have said, you don't understand what you're doing. And this would have a disastrous effect. So we saw over the weekend that the founder and chair of Betfred, one of the biggest such groups, have said that if you increase taxes to this level, we will just simply disappear from the high street. We've got about 1,300 shops, and we employ 7,000 people. This is just one of the many firms in question. He says, and we'll just have to go because you don't understand our profit margins. You don't understand the costs we've already sucked up through national insurance or business rates. And it would just be game over for us. And you'll force loads of people online and into less regulated forms of gambling. Now, plenty of people will say, I won't mourn the loss of betting shops from my high street. But overall, this is about 50,000 jobs in those physical premises, to say nothing of the taxes that are already being paid and that probably wouldn't be paid if the worst fears of these business chiefs comes to pass and they say, well, we're just going to have to close down many of our shops if these taxes increase. So this is a row, one of the punchiest in the pre-budget circus, and it's not going away.
Talking pre-budget, Ed Miliband's been making some views known there as well.
Yes, there's some debate and some expectation that the government, being mindful of the cost of living crisis, will look to take the 5% rate of VAT off energy bills. Chancellor says that she can't rule this in, can't rule this out. They don't comment on budget speculation. But Ed Miliband said over the weekend that the government was very mindful of this. This is a government that's pledged to lower bills by £300 a year. Not much luck in that direction yet. So taking about 90 quid off an average home bill by removing the VAT rate would perhaps go to some way to achieving that. Of course, if you look at the makeup of energy bills, 5% VAT, quite a considerable amount beyond that in subsidies, what they call policy costs and levies. About 16% of electricity bills are to pay for the actual transition itself into a cleaner, greener future. And there is now debate about the extent to which that should be levied on consumers. So energy bills are going to be a big part of the government's endeavour to show that their budget, I'm sure, isn't just one that raises taxes, but one which also tries to alleviate pressures where it can. But taking 5% off the energy bill from VAT costs a couple of billion quid, so they have to find that from somewhere if this is one of the moves they want to make.
Well, staying with going green, what about the charging points? Issues there, is that right?
Yes, the government's got some very ambitious, what they call stretch targets, to have something like 300,000 public charging posts across the country by 2030. For those of us who park on the street and can't install one on our driveway, this would be absolutely essential if the government also wants to encourage its levels of electric vehicle take-up. And if they're going to hit that 300,000 public charging points by 2030 target, they just have to keep accelerating the amount of charging points that are being installed. And they were on a pretty upward trajectory, 2021, 2022, 23, 24, up and up and up they went until this year when they somewhat cratered. So they need to be installing at least sort of 20, 30,000 a year. They have slumped. In September, they were just installing about 29 a day. They need to be doing multiples of that if they're going to hit this target. And indeed, they're trying to encourage people to take up electric vehicles with all sorts of grants and subsidies. But if the charging infrastructure isn't in place and people aren't stupid, they're going to wait.
Finish with your City AM online story about Legal & General. The latest there, Christian.
Illegal in General is one of the largest pension funds in the country, one of the largest financial institutions in the country. And for a very long time, they have been quietly putting an enormous amount of money into real assets, physical assets, housing, redevelopment, regenerations. And they've announced, ahead of a major sort of regional growth summit tomorrow, they've announced another £2 billion, which they say they will invest across infrastructure and affordable housing and urban regeneration across the country, creating about 25,000 jobs, 10,000 new social and affordable homes. This is exactly what the government wants to hear. This is pension money being deployed into real assets. The Chancellor's all in favour of it. Legal in General have been doing this for such a long time. They're really one of the most impressive sort of financial investment powerhouses in the country, almost like a government department in their own right, I sometimes think. But there will be more to be said on this tomorrow at the Regional Investment Summit in Birmingham, and we can expect to hear from the Chancellor there.
We'll talk around this time tomorrow. Christine May, Editor-in-Chief at City AM, thank you for bringing us up to just before 7.40. Tony in Chichester has been hanging on the line to talk about what should happen now with Prince Andrew. What do you want to see take place? Tony, good morning.
Yeah, hi, Nick.
Hello, sir.
Well, surely the Royal Protection Team, who are with him 24-7, must know something.
Mm-hmm.
Did he meet the girl? What happened on the island? They must know something. And surely they need to be interviewed as well. But Prince Andrew should have been questioned under caution years ago when these allegations first came out. Incidentally, I think that money you were talking about, that the hush money, I think the Queen paid it.
Well, it's reported that some of it was from the Queen's, but there's not, it again, who knows, but not all of the $12 million came from the Queen. It would be quite interesting to know whether any of our funds have gone towards that as well. And the point you make is a very good one, because my understanding is that these protection officers have to almost keep like a diary, a detailed log of what happens with what's called their principal, the person that they're looking after. So if you suddenly find yourself flying off to some mysterious island with a rather, rather shady businessman, presumably you're going to be writing it, noting in your diary exactly what took place. Oh, sorry, what you knew took place, at least. I'm not saying you don't know exactly what goes on every minute of the day.
That's right. They have to keep notebooks of, because I used to work for the police, so I know you have to log everything down in your notebook. So, yes, it's interesting to find out.
I wonder, lastly, how, you know, this is famously the man who doesn't sweat. I wonder how nervous he is, because we've not really touched on the side that over in the United States, to give out someone's social security number, that can give you 15 years in jail. And he would appear he gave it to his protection officer.
I bet he's losing a lot of weight.
Well, not if you eat pizzas, of course. If he's down at the Pizza Express, was it Pizza Hut or Pizza Express in Woking? Pizza Express, was it right? Yeah, if he's tucking into those pizzas, he'll manage to not shed too many pounds. Tony, thanks for your input on that. 7:41. Let's go from events here in the UK and indeed the US and any other islands that are involved. We go to France, where there was a looting at the Louvre, and these tourists were unfortunately caught up in events yesterday.
I'm shocked. Yeah.
Like, yeah, I thought it happened in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
And then we found out it was 9:30 in the morning. Pretty brazen.
When we were in the museum, we also thought that the security was very low. Yes, it didn't look much, the security.
We walked out of the room of the Mona Lisa. There were security people. They shouted to us, "You have to move this place. You have to be quick, fast, run."
Fast? Gone in 7 minutes, according to media reports. Peter Allen is LBC's reporter in Paris. What's the latest you've got, Peter? Morning.
Good morning, Nick. Four thieves are still at large this morning. They were last seen escaping on two Yamaha mopeds from the Louvre yesterday morning. At about 9:30, they'd spent 7 minutes inside the world's most famous and largest and most popular art gallery. They left a yellow vest. One of them was wearing a high-vis yellow vest. That's being looked at. Also, a motorbike helmet was left behind. And crucially, a flatbed truck, which had a ladder on it, and that was used to access the first floor and for them to get into the Apollo Gallery, where they made off with eight pieces in all of jewellery. They left one behind. That was the Empress Eugenie's crown. It has about 1,000 jewels on it. That shows what they were aiming to take away with them. This is property that's been described as the French crown jewels this morning. Clearly, France doesn't have a royal family anymore, but the Bonaparte family famously position themselves as near monarchs, and most of this jewellery belonged to them, the original Napoleon Bonaparte and his wife Josephine, and then Napoleon III, Louis Napoleon Bonaparte, and his empress was Eugenie. Lots of soul-searching going on this morning, Nick. The Gérald Darmanin, the Justice Minister, has said this morning, we failed and presented a deplorable image of France. He's directly referring to these jewels as the crown jewels of France. And it's all getting a little bit Inspector Clouseau. He came out with the statement, the fact that the windows were not secured is a question that can be asked. How about that?
Inside job, question mark?
Well, there's always that possibility. Another extraordinary fact about the whole raid is that five security guards were inside the Apollo Gallery when all this was taking place. It doesn't sound as though the raiders were armed. Of course, they were carrying chainsaws and other industrial tools which were used to force the cabinets open where they stole the jewels from. But you would have thought five security guards might have done a better job. They were last seen running away from the raiders and encouraging everybody else inside the gallery to run away. It really is incredible that it was already open and it was happening in broad daylight. They come in through the windows. I mean, it really is extraordinary stuff.
Is it possible to put a value on all these jewels?
Not really, because they would have to be counted as priceless. You imagine, again, it's the equivalent of the crown jewels.
How do you fence these?
What I'm told is what happens in these cases, that they're master criminal art dealers who fence these jewels off, and they sell them to other master criminals who might have a huge house in the countryside somewhere, where they show them off to their friends, these pieces, and keep them for life. I mean, that's the real fear. And normally, they're not recovered. I mean, that is one of the really frightening sides of it. Of course, they can be broken down as well.
Yes.
And you can take the diamonds off, you can take the jewels off and sell them individually. But if they're held together, there is, in fact, a market for them, I'm told.
Busy day ahead for you. Detective Inspector Allen there. Peter Allen, LBC's reporter in Paris, giving us all the details. Coming up after the news, addressing the Labour Party conference last month, Prime Minister Keir Starmer said the goal for 50% of young adults to attend university is no longer appropriate.
I don't think the way we currently measure success in education, that ambition to get 50% of kids to uni, I don't think that's right for our times.
Well, in the government's latest attempt to shake up the system, we'll hear more about the V level, as in vocational V level, when we speak with the Education Secretary after this. 7:46, LBC News headlines then. Thomas Watts.
Israeli troops have resumed enforcement of the Gaza ceasefire after it was seriously tested over the weekend. The Metropolitan Police is under pressure to begin a full inquiry into claims Prince Andrew asked an officer to dig up dirt on Virginia Giuffre. And a new post-16 qualification is to be rolled out in an overhaul of the education system in England. LBC weather. Sunny spells and heavy showers in England and Wales, Northern Ireland and Southern Scotland. Drier, a high of 16 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. There are delays on the Essex stretch of the M25 as only one lane's open clockwise just after junction 27 at the M11 following an accident. There are queues back to junction 26 at Waltham Abbey, but also delays on the M11 southbound from junction 7 at Harlow, and anti-clockwise is slow from junction 30 at the A13 because of onlookers. Also on the M25, it's slow clockwise to junction 10 at the A3 because a car broke down earlier, but that's now been recovered. In Richmond, George Street is closed northbound where a bus has broken down. On the trains, no Gatwick Express service is running at all. The entire network is suspended. And on the Underground, the District Line is suspended between Turnham Green and Richmond.
LBC.
I like my private details on a need-to-know basis. In other words, I need to know them and you don't. That's why I use Bitdefender whenever I'm connected, working tirelessly in the background to protect me across all my devices, keeping my digital identity confidential, on the down low, on the hush-hush, trusted by the experts, used by the pros.
Bitdefender, a global leader in cybersecurity. Trusted, always.
Verify now at bitdefender.com.
Call Nick Ferrari now, 0345 6060973, LBC.
A Southern train is a place where you can have more me time. A chance to skip traffic and glide to wherever you need to be. With headspace to focus on more important matters. like if that cloud is a starfish or sunflower. Fast journeys without the rush with great deals at southernrailway.com. Terms apply.
Julie could part exchange her car. Or check out We Buy Any Car. She could be unsure if she got a good deal part exchanging. Or have cash in the bank with more bargaining power to get a bigger car for her five-a-side team. Totally played. Or total player. To get a quote in 30 seconds, enter your reg number now at webuyanycar.com.
Sharing intimate photos of her without her consent.
Unwanted touching. Unwanted comments. Unwanted nudes.
Controlling what she can and can't wear.
Controlling who she can and can't see.
Threatening her.
Enough. This is abuse.
If you think it's wrong, act on it.
Call it out, show support, report it.
There are many ways you can safely tackle violence against women and girls. Find out how at gov.uk/enough. If someone is in danger, call 999.
Amazon has increased funding for employees to £3,000 a year every year for career development. Like Juliet, she's now a trained technician. And to her, the sound of machinery in need of repair reminds her of how far she's come. In 2 years, she's landed her dream job, providing her with valuable skills. That's up to £3,000 every year for career development at Amazon. Eligibility conditions apply.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
With cybersecurity from BT. Protect your small business and understand cybersecurity.
It's 10 minutes before 8. Let's come to a story you've already heard on the LBC News Bulletin, and this was hinted at by the Prime Minister in the speech in Liverpool. A change in the education system, and a change as regards the introduction of what are called V-levels, vocational levels. Here with all the details, Labour MP and Secretary of State for Education, Women and Equalities, Bridget Phillipson. Good to have you on, Secretary of State. So how does a V-level work? Good morning to you.
Hello, good morning. Today what I'm setting out is our wider modernisation of the post-16 skills and education system. So to make sure that our young people have got great routes of study, but also great routes into careers as well. At the moment, we have A-levels, which have been around for a long time that a lot of people will know about, T-levels, which are a newer qualification, the equivalent of three A-levels, that are focused on technical education and have a big work placement element to that, and we're going to expand them further. But then alongside that, we've got over 900 other qualifications that sit alongside A-levels and T-levels. They will become V-levels, so we'll be moving away from that quite confused mix of other qualifications to a more simpler system where young people will be able to combine study of A-levels with V-levels to keep their options open as to areas they want to continue to pursue, because T-levels are very specialist. You've got to be really clear about what you want to go and study. They're really high quality but specialist. But V-levels will allow young people to have good vocational routes, but combining that with A-level study too, just making the system more simpler, more coherent, but also easier for businesses and for parents and young people to understand.
So are we saying farewell to GCSEs and BTECs?
So GCSEs are a level two qualifications. These are what we're talking about around V-levels, T-levels and A-levels, level three qualifications. So what you'd study post-16.
So the young man or woman still does his or her GCSEs at 16.
Yes.
So do BTECs now go then, Secretary of State?
All other qualifications that aren't A-levels or T-levels will become V-levels in the new kind of post-16 education study plans that we're setting out today. That will make it simpler because there's lots and lots of qualifications out there. It can be rather complicated for employers to navigate and for young people to know what the right way through is. But this also goes hand in hand with £800 million of extra investment that's going into 16 to 19 study. So to make sure that young people are getting the support they need, they've got good routes into training. And as you said, to allow us to make sure that two-thirds of young people are in higher level training or education or an apprenticeship, as the Prime Minister set out just last month in his conference speech.
Sorry, and just to clarify, so a young person can do a mix of V and T levels?
No, you could do a mix of A levels and V levels. T levels are the equivalent of three A levels. So if you do one T level, right, that is the equivalent of three A levels. That's all you would study. So it's a technical qualification focused on a number of kind of key areas, you know, for example, around health and social care, that's one area, but you wouldn't be able to combine it with anything else. V levels will allow you to will allow you to study some element of vocational education alongside academic study too.
And what are we terming vocational education? What sort of subjects might we be talking about? Is that like media and art and craft or something?
So we're going to launch a consultation to listen to employers and experts, but the areas that we would have in mind would be, it would be the equivalent of one A-level, and it will be in areas like digital or engineering, areas where we know we've got to grow our economy and where we want more good opportunities for young people to move into careers.
OK. How will we know if this shake-up has worked or is working?
Well, one way we'll be able to measure it is whether we are bringing down the numbers of young people who are not in education, employment or training. At the moment, those numbers are far too high. And alongside that, whether we are providing the jobs and the skills that young people need. So we've got a big skills gap in our country, particularly in areas like construction. So we want to find more routes for young people into great careers like construction. But at 16, sometimes, you know, young people might know they want to work in construction, but they don't know exactly which area. It's a big decision to make at the age of 16, and that's not what all young people are able to do. So, for example, the work we've done on foundation apprenticeships that we've talked about before is about giving young people the ability to look at different areas across construction before they then move on to specialise.
Okay. To other matters, and SEND, Special Education Needs and Disabilities, I read that teachers, not counsellors, are to take a greater role in assessing children with those needs, so you have said. Can you expand on that, Secretary of State?
Yeah, that wasn't quite what I was angling at when I was talking about the role for teachers. The role for teachers
is... This is an interview with the I newspaper, just so that we can clarify. We're talking about the same thing.
We are talking about the same thing, absolutely.
Yeah.
So teachers have got an important role to play, and I want teachers to be better able to adapt their teaching to meet the needs of children with a wider range of support need or learning need. But alongside that, there has to always be a role for professionals like educational psychologists to make those determinations about a child's need. The point I was making, and I've heard this from parents, is that, you know, they want support to come more quickly, before any formal assessment, before any formal diagnosis. And teachers are often able to spot where children are struggling, if they're struggling with their reading, for example, and put in place support in order to navigate that. But that requires us to provide more for staff, including for teachers, around training, and that's something that we're going to do.
Right. One thing that needs to be addressed, of course, is the extraordinary, the millions of pounds that is spent in getting these young people to and from specialist schools. How is that to be addressed, Secretary of State?
What we need to do is make sure that we've got more children able to go to a great local school. You know, I've spoken to lots of parents.
Have we got enough great local schools? This is the key, isn't it?
Well, with the specialist provision that's needed for children. So it's not just that you've got a school close to home, but it's that the school is able to meet your child's needs. And that's why we're already investing more to create more specialist provision in mainstream schools. So more places for children who have a range of needs so they can go to their local school. I've seen it done well in many areas across the country. I've visited schools where this is happening. And that's how we will make sure that we do address some of those challenges around budgets. I have to say that any reform that we'll bring forward around special educational needs and disabilities is rooted in how we make the system better for children, how we deliver better outcomes for children with SEND. It's not about the money, it's about outcomes for children.
But do teachers want to take a role in assessment, do you think?
I think teachers are already doing much. It's not so much about formal assessment, it's that teachers are already able, as professionals, as people who've gone through lots of training, to identify where children might be struggling. What I want teachers to be better able to do is to be more confident in the support that they can put in place, perhaps while a child continues to go through a formal assessment process, to support a child where, for example, they might be struggling with their reading. So that is going to require us to support both our teachers and our support staff so that they can provide children with that extra level of support.
Now, up to the election, you and I had robust conversations about whether it was a good idea to impose VAT on school fees, and you said it would provide for more teachers in our state schools. You've probably seen a report in the Times, 61,000 pupils have now left private education. How many of these additional teachers have been hired, Secretary of State?
So I haven't seen those numbers, but what I would say is that the numbers that we've seen moving into the state system, and that's not the same as those leaving the private sector, the numbers are broadly in line with where we'd expect them to be on any given year.
But
so we haven't seen...
You just say it would provide for 6,500 state. How many of those 6,500 are now in post?
Yeah, absolutely. So we've now got over 2,300 more teachers in secondary and specialist schools. That's where we're seeing the kind of the growth in numbers and where we need them most. But we're also retaining more teachers, so well over 1,000 more teachers staying within our state schools over the course of the last year. So we're on course towards that 6,500 target, 2,300 in little more than a year, I think is good progress, but there's more to do.
All right. Possibly more to do as well for the Labour Party. Of course, we all know the deputy leadership is working its way through. By the end of the month, you may well be in post, but before that, it is reported, even by the Financial Times, Labour's going to have a historic defeat at the Caerphilly by-election. Why so, if that's true?
Look, being in government has its challenges, and you know, we are facing a push in Caerphilly. I've been there campaigning, and you know, people want to feel motivated.
What are people saying, Secretary of State?
Well, I think people recognise the changes that we're making as a government. They want us; they're impatient for change, as am I. They want to feel better off. They want to see change in their communities. They want to see more police on the streets. You know, all of the issues that you would expect voters care about. But of course, you know, we're still a way off that election result. There's a lot more to do.
Will the Prime Minister
really
go to Caerphilly?
I couldn't tell you, sorry, I'm not sure.
Would it be helpful if he did?
The Prime Minister's a busy man, so
I'm not sure. No, but would it be helpful for the Prime Minister to be in Caerphilly?
I'm sure the Prime Minister would be happy to campaign if he can get there, yeah, but
would it be helpful for him to be
in Caerphilly? I'm sure it would be, but he's a pretty busy man. And obviously, in terms of elections that take place in Wales, they're the main responsibility of our Welsh Labour colleagues.
All right. Lastly, on the subject of Prince Andrew, is it right that he retains that property, what's called Royal Lodge? I understand 30 bedrooms. Is that correct?
I'm afraid I don't know the arrangements surrounding his use of that accommodation or how that is decided.
Would you support parliamentary procedure to officially remove him as titles?
Well, as we know from the statement that the Royal Family have issued that we support, many of Prince Andrew's titles have been removed. Of course, he is a prince by virtue of the fact he is the son of a monarch. And, you know, in Parliament, people often seek to debate a range of issues. This isn't for the government to insert ourselves into, but you know, MPs will often want to discuss a number of topics and have vehicles within Parliament to do so, should they choose.
But would you support that, were it to be? There are movements, the SNP are making movements that he should be stripped of all official titles. Is it something you would support?
Well, we support what the Royal Family have done so far in the statement that they have put out, but
you wouldn't go further?
Well, as I say, Prince Andrew holds the title of Prince because he is the son of a monarch, and you know, that's as it is.
Grateful for your time. Thank you. V-levels, vocational levels coming in to work alongside, of course, A-levels and those T-levels, the combination that we provided to the pupils as outlined by Education Secretary Bridget Phillips. And thank you for your input. You've taken us to 1 minute after eight. Let's get the headlines on LBC.
On your radio, on the LBC app and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom, efforts are underway to shore up the Gaza ceasefire after it was seriously tested over the weekend. Israeli forces carried out a series of deadly airstrikes in response to the deaths of two soldiers in Rafah. The IDF says it has now begun renewed enforcement of the truce. Leza Berman, diplomatic correspondent at the Times of Israel, has been speaking to Nick.
The trajectory of this ceasefire is not going anywhere that makes me think that it's going to that is likely to hold up. That is why Trump's big guns are coming. That's why you have Steve Witkoff on his way today, Jared Kushner on his way today, and Vice President J.D. Vance, we're expecting to see him this week as well.
Scotland Yard is being urged to open a full inquiry into the latest allegations against Prince Andrew. It's reported he asked his protection officer to dig up dirt about his accuser, Virginia Giuffre. The Metropolitan Police says it's actively looking into the claims against Andrew, who has always denied wrongdoing. A new post-16 qualification is to be rolled out in an overhaul of the education system in England. The vocational V-levels will be studied alongside A-levels, replacing Level 3 BTECs and other technical qualifications. The Education Secretary Bridget Phillipson's told Nick it'll bring together hundreds of courses.
We'll be moving away from that quite confused mix of other qualifications to a more simpler system where young people will be able to combine study of A-levels with V-levels to keep their options open as to areas they want to continue to pursue.
Two people have died after a cargo plane skidded off a runway into the sea at Hong Kong International Airport. The workers were killed when the Boeing 747 crashed into a security patrol car. It's claimed 7 million UK adults have been hit by a scam in the past year. Citizens Advice says 20% of them were significantly affected by the resulting financial loss. In the city, the FTSE 100 is just reopening at 93.54. It closed down 81 last week. The pound buys $1.34 and a euro 4. 14. LBC weather. Sunny spells and heavy showers across England and Wales. Drier in Northern Ireland and southern Scotland. A high of 16 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Thomas Watt.
Debbie was in a bit of a pickle. Her crisp and gherkin sandwiches just weren't selling. Until she had the good idea to use Canva to design her logo, menus, and social posts. They looked good. Really, really good. Turns out crisp and gherkin sandwiches are right up everyone's street. Even if that street now smells of pickles.
Thanks, Canva.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
Good morning, 4 minutes after eight on Monday, the 20th of October. Another shake-up in our education system. All governments seem to do it. We now have these V levels. Let's get your input on that, particularly if you are either A, an employer, or someone, a parent, whose child is just coming up to that key age. In the old days, it seemed a lot simpler. So is it better this way? Plus, in other news, here's Energy Secretary Ed Miliband on the round yesterday, telling Sky News that the Aston Villa ground cannot be, in the light of the banning, of course, last week of Israeli vans coming to Villa Park, cannot be a no-go area for Jewish people.
We cannot have a situation where any area is a no-go area for people of a particular religion or from a particular country. And we've got to stamp out all forms of prejudice wherever we find them.
And to the scandal seemingly without conclusion at the moment, what now for Prince Andrew? Di Davis, former head of Royal Protection, former chief superintendent in the Met, told me in the first hour...
The latest information we have clearly shows that if, and I say if it's true, and if there is evidence, then he and many others in the palace should be investigated.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345-6060-973. Text 84850. Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
So let's come back to that conversation that began about 15 minutes or so ago, trying to get to the bottom of what's planned with these V levels. Now, if you are of a certain vintage, it does seem to have been considerably easier. Or was it just because I didn't understand, almost certainly I didn't understand the full complexity of it? Because when I was going through school, you did your GCSEs at 16. Oh, no, you didn't. You did your O-levels. My apologies. You did your You did your O-levels at 16, or there was something else called... Was it a CSE? Yeah, a certificate... Yeah, I think there was a CSE. That's right. If you weren't perhaps guaranteed an O-level, that's right, I think you could opt to do a CSE, which was a qualification but not deemed to be the same level as an O-level. And then after that, it was pretty straightforward. There was a run for the A-levels... when you were 18. Then, of course, I remember when my children at school, we had ASs. Do you remember that? So the first year of sixth form, which should be a little bit of fun, you know, you've sweated through your O-levels or your GCSEs, whatever you want to call them, and then suddenly they brought in these ASs, which I thought was terrible. It's just when you're, I don't know, discovering girls or boys or a bit of both, I don't know, maybe getting a motorbike or a car, just getting a bit of life to yourself, and suddenly got all these exams. Well, now they're getting even more complex, because we've still got the A-levels. We've got T-levels, which were introduced by a previous administration. Now we're going to add V, as in vocational, V-levels. So, if you were listening about 15 minutes ago, it was the Education Secretary Bridget Phillipson who came on to explain exactly how V-levels will work.
V-levels will allow young people to have good vocational routes, but combining that with A-level study too, just making the system more simpler, more coherent, but also easier for businesses and for parents and young people to understand.
So are we saying farewell to GCSEs and BTECs?
So GCSEs are a level two qualifications. These are what we're talking about around V-levels, T-levels and A-levels, level three qualifications. So what you'd study post-16.
So the young man or woman still does his or her GCSEs at 16.
Yes.
So do BTECs now go then, Secretary of State?
All other qualifications that aren't A-levels or T-levels will become V-levels in the new kind of post-16 education study plans that we're setting out today. That will make it simpler because... there's lots and lots of qualifications out there. It can be rather complicated for employers to navigate and for young people to know what the right way through is. But this also goes hand in hand with £800 million of extra investment that's going into 16 to 19 study. So to make sure that young people are getting the support they need. They've got good routes into training. And as you said, to allow us to make sure that two-thirds of young people are in higher level training or education or an apprenticeship, as the Prime Minister set out just last month in his conference speech.
Sorry, and just to clarify, so a young person can do a mix of V and T levels?
No, you could do a mix of A levels and V levels. T levels are the equivalent of three A levels. So if you do one T level, right, that is the equivalent of three A levels. That's all you would study. So it's a technical qualification focused on a number of kind of key areas. You know, for example, around health and social care, that's one area, but you wouldn't be able to combine it with anything else. V levels will allow you to study some element of vocational education alongside academic study too.
And what are we terming vocational education? What sort of subjects might we be talking about? Is that like media and art and craft or something?
So we're going to launch a consultation to listen to employers and experts, but the areas that we would have in mind would be, it would be the equivalent of one A level. And it will be in areas like digital or engineering, areas where we know we've got to grow our economy and where we want more good opportunities for young people to move into careers.
Quick apology. I was paying so much attention, I didn't pull her up on more simpler. I did hear that the second time around. That's the Secretary of State for Education saying the system will be made more simpler. I'm sorry, I was paying so much attention trying to understand B levels. Otherwise, I would have said, hang on a second. That's an interesting construction of a sentence. Right, I still, even working for a second time, I don't fully divine what's going on. So thank God I can turn to someone who hopefully does. Tom Rogers, secondary school history teacher. Best subject, by the way. If ever teach anything, that's what I would have done. Founder and director of Teachers Talk Radio joins me now. Okay, sir, over to you. Does it add up, what we've just heard? Morning.
Well, you know, for me, it's just...
Is it more simpler?
Confusing. I honestly, I've listened to that and I'm just utterly confused. You've got V levels, BTECs, T levels, you know, A levels.
Yep.
We need D levels, disaster levels, because that's where we're at in terms of teaching. You need teachers to teach the qualifications.
Yep.
So all this sort of tinkering with the names and the formats and the curriculums... If you don't have good teachers to actually deliver the qualifications in the first instance, then there's no point in tinkering. You might as well just leave it with the, you know, the O levels, right? It's like, just don't bother.
Well, Tom, let's back up a little. Is it a system in need of some kind of reform or review?
Well, I do like the idea of a more, like, more vocational pathways for children to go down. I like that idea. You know, like the International Baccalaureate, for example, which children do internationally is, you know, there's qualifications abroad, for example, that are much more sort of skills-based and lead to maybe more vocational opportunities. And then further down the line, this idea of apprenticeships and more access to that sort of route and being encouraged in that route rather than you need to go to university, it's the best thing ever. Now, I think we've moved a little bit away from that anyway, but I do think these are positive moves in general. More focus on this.
What do you see as the perfect combination? I tried to get an idea of that from the Secretary of State. How do you think they should apply to the young person themselves?
Well, that's, I mean, obviously young people should have choice, right? They should have choice to be able, when they get to 16, they do the GCSEs, they should have choices in terms of what they want to do. But, you know, to provide that choice, again, you need to have specialist trained staff who can deliver the qualifications. And without that, it becomes a little bit, you know, I mean, I remember when I did my GCSEs, I had a PE teacher teaching me maths, which, you know, I mean, listen, I am not by any way slagging off PE teachers there who are incredible. But this person was not trained in a specialist sense to teach the subject. And, you know, they were sort of given the bottom set, which I was in, right? You know, and that sort of thing. So what I'm saying is it's great to broaden the horizon in terms of qualifications, but, you know, but we need some people to actually teach it and want to teach it and be able to teach it. That's my key issue with this whole thing. Doesn't matter what you call it, what letter you put in front of it. You know, you can pick any letter from the alphabet, but ultimately it needs to be delivered well. Otherwise, children will go, oh, yeah, I really like that subject. They go through and do it. They're not being taught well. or there isn't a teacher, or it's a supply teacher, and then they just go, I should have just done something else. You know, what's the point?
Tom, as ever, thanks for your input. Tom Rogers is a secondary school history teacher, founder and director of Teachers Talk Radio, 13 after 8. Steve's in Chesterfield. Steve, another government having another shake-up. What do you think this one might achieve? Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. How are you?
Puzzled, but you're going to make it, I'm sure, work for me.
Yeah, I'm as puzzled as you are. I have a child who's just coming up to year 11.
Right.
In secondary school, so he's in the middle of this.
Right, yeah? So he's 15, and 16-ish, roughly.
It's 15 next. 15,
right, yeah.
So, you know,
this
I'm
is
on
the
his case
absolute
every night.
Key time for the lad now.
It is, yeah. It is, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Why do these politicians seem to think that they're qualified to tinker with this education system? You know, it's throughout my life. I'm 70 now, by the way, and I've got a kid a bit late on life.
Well, congratulations, that'll keep you young.
The CSEs I sat, they weren't worth the paper that they were written on. If you didn't get a grade one, you didn't get an O-level pass.
Right.
And ever since then, every government seems to want to mess around with our education system, and they don't consult the teachers at all. They don't even ask their opinion.
The problem is, Steve, she would say there are too many not in education, employment or training, I rather hate the expression, but NEETs, and that is what they're seeking to address. So if if a teenager wants to do a bit of vocational work, i.e. media, this means that they would argue that this means he, she can do that, they can combine that. Is that a healthy step forward?
It is, yeah, but the way that they're going about it is absolutely ridiculous. Like the guy you've just had on.
Yeah, who is a teacher, by the way. Yeah, who is a teacher, so he should know.
Yeah, exactly, but they don't ask them people their opinion.
Steve, I don't know what you did for a living, and obviously you wouldn't want your 16-year-old to hear this necessarily, but would you have got where you did professionally without your A's or your O's or whatever you got?
Yeah, I didn't need them at all. I I only got 8 CSEs. They're a waste of time.
Right, okay. Good luck with your boy. Lovely challenge at your age, raising a 16-year-old. I envy you in some ways. I don't in others, I can assure you, just sheer energy. But would you have got, this is a question for you, as we now have V levels and we've got the T levels and everything else, would you have got where you got today without your exams, or would it make absolutely not blinded a bit? No one's ever asked me for my A levels. No one's ever asked me for my GCSEs. No one's ever cared. What is the reality if you're fortunate enough to be in employment? I do like this from Ollie in Yorkshire. So if you get a V level and an A level and a T level, are you VAT registered? That's very clever. You'll see that in the Sunday Express next weekend with no credit to you whatsoever. Also coming up after the news, research that shows with that budget in the offing, how many people are putting off key financial decisions. We'll pick up on that as well. It's 8:16 LBC News headlines then. Thomas Watts.
The Israeli military says a ceasefire in Gaza has resumed after an uncertain weekend for the fragile truce. There are calls for a thorough investigation into allegations. Prince Andrew asked a police officer to dig up dirt on Virginia Giuffre. A new V-level qualification is to be rolled out in an overhaul of the post-16 education system in England. LBC weather, sunny spells and heavy showers across England and Wales, drier in Northern Ireland and southern Scotland, a high of 16 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. Severe delays continue on the M25 both ways to junction 27 at the M11. It's following an accident. One lane stays closed clockwise and there are delays from junction 26 at Waltham Abbey and also from junction 30 at the A13. It also means there are delays on the M11 southbound from junction 7 at Harlow. In Richmond, George Street is closed northbound because a bus has broken down. And in Ashford, the Kingston Road is blocked westbound and that's following an accident. And that's also causing delays. Still no Gatwick Express services running at all. The entire line is suspended. And no London Overground between South Acton and Richmond, and the District Line suspended from Turnham Green to Richmond.
This is LBC.
Can you hear that? It's the sound of billions of live cultures in Activia Kefir, our most diverse mix made with 16 strains, including probiotics, plus calcium. Because when your gut feels good, you feel good. Activia Kefir from Danone. Calcium contributes to the normal function of digestive enzymes. Live cultures and yogurt improve lactose digestion of the product in individuals with difficulty digesting lactose. Enjoy as part of a balanced diet and lifestyle. Activia, your gut is where it all begins.
This is LBC. Listen on our free Global Player app or the new LBC app. Download it now from your app store.
Imagine a delicious patty nestled between two buns with cheese and ketchup. It's not a burger. That patty is actually sausage, which makes this a sandwich. A breakfast sausage sandwich. The new $1.99 sausage sandwich from McDonald's. Made with RSPCA assured pork. Until 11 a.m. Price and participation may vary. Upcharges and fees apply to delivery. Subject to availability.
Sharing intimate photos of her without her consent.
Unwanted touching. Unwanted comments. Unwanted nudes.
Controlling what she can and can't wear.
Controlling who she can and can't see.
Threatening her.
Enough. This is abuse.
If you think it's wrong, act on it.
Call it out, show support, report it.
There are many ways you can safely tackle violence against women and girls. Find out how at gov.uk/enough. If someone is in danger, call 999.
I'm telling you, raise taxes, that's how.
Cut spending, less waste, more sense.
Move north, get more for your money.
Until winter hits your heating bill.
Fair.
Up to 9.13% annual return. We all agree that's strong.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's hard to ignore.
Cufflink. Auto-invest property-backed from £500. Visit cufflink.com. That's K-U-F-L-I-N-K. Register your interest today. Your capital is at risk. Tax rules apply to IF ISAs and may be subject to change. Cufflink is authorised and regulated by the FCA.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
With cyber security from BT. Security solutions built for businesses.
Still chuckling over that VAT. I thought that was clever. Of course, it's not just V. And we've also got the IB as well, haven't we? International Baccalaureate. Which, I should have asked the Education Secretary. My head was hurting so much by writing it all down. But I think that's available in some schools. Ginny and Barnett. Ginny, your story. Good morning.
Good morning, Nick.
Hello, Ginny.
Hello. This is my first call at LBC. I'm so excited.
Thank you so much.
Thank
you for calling me. What a privilege that you're calling me. What are you going to tell me?
So, I'm just thinking, I have three children, and my first one, he is doing A-level, AS level, and then A-level. And then my two little ones, one is approaching to GCSE, and the other one, little one, he's 10. But he desperately wants to be an engineer.
Right.
So, I don't know actually what he wants to do in the future. So, looking at him, I'm just taking this as a bit of positively. We definitely need teachers,
yep.
No doubt about this.
Yep.
But I'm just thinking for those young people who really doesn't want to do AS level, they don't want to approach three difficult, you know, A level three subjects,
mm-hmm.
and they just purely want to do something vocational from the very young age. I think this is the best opportunity they can explore.
Tell me what you like about what you're hearing, Ginny. Tell me the thing that works or you think would work for your children.
So, for my little one, because he wants to approach to engineering, I'm just thinking with the V-levels, I can, as a parent, I can explain him. Maybe he can start after GCSE straight to, you know, V-levels with one A-level. I mean, as long as it's been explained to him.
Yeah. No, my understanding is you're absolutely right. Yeah, I think that's, and I'm not being rude, I don't fully divine how this is going to work, but that, what I think is exactly what the Secretary of State was laying out. So what would that mean for him then? What sort of subjects do you think they do?
This is why I am saying, I mean, as long as the subject areas will be explained to the parents and to the young people very yep. clearly, I think that this is what we need. We need actually experienced career advisors and teachers who can explain from the very beginning that, okay, this is what you are doing, considering your goal in the future.
Did you say your children were 18, 16 and 10? Is that roughly what you said?
So my first one is 16.
16, I'm sorry.
And he just, 16, 13 and 10.
I'm so sorry, 16. And what do you think the level of teaching that your three children are getting, is it good to a good high standard? Do you have concerns of it? How would you characterise it, Ginny?
I think my first one is attending one of the league table schools in the UK. So definitely they are actually giving him so much opportunity to you know, explore mm-hmm. and to achieve. But generally, I would say, you know, there is a huge shortage of teaching. I can see my daughter sometimes is selling, you know, she's getting maths tutors. She's not happy about her maths tutors or like her tutor who is studying, who is actually teaching French. And apparently I hear that the French tutor is teaching maths. And I just don't know how this works.
Who's teaching French and the French teaching maths? How the hell's that happening?
Yeah, I don't know. But apparently they're doing that.
Doesn't make sense at all. Lastly, did you get qualifications in school or did you go straight into the workplace? What was it you did, Ginny?
So, I completed my study abroad. And I am working here as a lec advisor at college, and I can see we have T-levels and we have, you know, BTEC, we have A-levels.
And you don't have to tell me, but might I ask, in which country were you educated, and do you think the English system is better, or do you think where you were educated is better?
Definitely. English system is much better in this country, but I think the process of, I mean, education system is still a bit complex in this
really
country.
So what country were you educated in, Ginny?
So I was educated in India.
Okay. Thank you so much. Good luck with your three children, 16, 13 and 10. Actually, all pretty key ages, aren't they, when you think about it? Well, every age is key age, but certainly two of them, big decisions to make when they go into the next schools or the next level. I hope they go well. Ginny, look forward to our second conversation. Be like Ginny, get it off your chest. Get it on the radio. Give me a call on that number, 053. I have no idea what one is after that. I'm not going to tell you after 20 years doing this job. Come back to more of your calls on that in just a moment. 8:24 now, as we say regularly, around this time, in the every hour of the show when we talk finance, there is, as if you need reminding, next month there is a budget on the way. And virtually every day now, a fresh set of headlines are put up saying that this should happen, that should happen, or that it's causing certain problems or issues. Well, now there's a report out saying that it's fueling confusion as investor confidence plummets. Let's get more details from Gina Miller. Gina is co-founder of SCM Direct. They commissioned this polling, also co-founder of MoneySHE. That's moneysheonword.com. Gina, good to have you on. Trust you well. What break down then these findings? What are concerns for economists of what you've discovered? Good morning.
Good morning. Well, we already have one of the lowest savings investment markets in the G7 countries. And what this research is showing is of those people who are saving, we looked at what we call affluent, which is people with over £40,000, which, you know, you could question whether it's affluent or not, but those tend to be the people who are saving. And 49% of them are saying that because of this rumor mill that's constantly coming from the government, that they're already seeking to or thinking about making long plans away from investing, which is terrible news for us because we need to encourage more of an investing culture and saving culture for people to take responsibility for their rainy days or their retirement. So if you know, this is real big red flags for the government and for policymakers because they have to control this uncertainty that's coming out on a regular basis. And this latest one on ISIS, these reforms on ISIS that they're talking about, there's a lack of joined up thinking here and there's a lack of policy because, you know, for a lot of people, ISAs are a really important investment wrapper. It's not investment product. It's a tax-free investment wrapper. And if people are saying that their confidence in savings in them is plummeting, then the government really have got a problem on their hands because people just won't save.
And what impact does that have on a nation's economy, Gina?
Well, the governments say that what they want to do is to encourage people to invest in equities. But the thing is, if they are saying that reforms to, for example, the cash ISA, which is what people take out because they want to take low risk, they're going to mandate them to put into the FTSE 100 to grow our economy. That doesn't really make sense because how are you going to persuade low risk people to take high risk by putting money into UK equities? And also the UK 100, the FTSE 100, isn't predominantly UK companies. If you really want to boost the UK economy, then it should be the FTSE 250, which is smaller UK companies. But you have to have knowledge, understanding, confidence to do those things. And those are lacking in the UK investment community for ordinary people. And it just makes no sense to us. And this data backs up that people are feeling really uncertain and lack confidence in what the government are doing. And at SCM, we actually wrote to the government earlier this year and said, instead of tinkering with all of these reforms, why not look at the $3 trillion that's sitting in pension fund schemes? You know, that's these pension funds have professional advisors, trustees. They're the people who should look at investing in UK equities and boosting our economy. That would make much more sense. It's what Canada is doing. It's what Australia is doing. I just don't understand where this government is coming from and this confusion that it's fueling in individuals and in markets is not good for our economy.
Gina, good speaking with you again. Thank you. Gina Miller, co-founder of SCM Direct, which commissioned the polling, also co-founder of MoneyShe.com. 828. You might want to talk finance. You certainly want to talk education and these possible changes. Shannon's in Bristol. Shannon, what do you want to tell me? Good morning.
Oh, hi there. I'm first time caller, so good, a little nervous.
Brilliant to have you on. You're at university, is that correct?
Yes, I am, yes.
What are you reading? What are you studying?
I'm studying veterinary medicine.
Oh, good luck with all of that.
Thank you. I just wanted to say that it's, you know, I don't really have an issue with changing the name of different qualifications.
Right.
Making sure that there's buy-in and sort of confirmed buy-in from employers and universities that this new combination of qualifications would be accepted.
Did you take comfort from the fact that the Secretary of State did say that there would be a consultation process? What did that mean to you?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's great that they will be consulted, but I think, you know, ultimately there needs to be a confirmed agreement that actually, if I'm going to do a different combination of A-levels and B-levels, they're actually going to be accepted when I'm applying into university, because otherwise I'm going to do a qualification that's going to leave me unemployed.
What did you do to get to the university? What did you need?
So I actually am a mature student.
Oh,
so
right.
I did a sort of non-traditional qualification, which was a access to higher education diploma. So I studied that remotely myself.
Okay, that's interesting. And so you just suddenly decided that you wanted to obviously get the necessary training and then move on to that as your career.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So, but again, that wasn't something that was, massively advertised, an accepted qualification. So I sort of had to pour through the university's entry requirements, and then
okay.
I saw it and thought, because otherwise my option would have been doing A levels. So,
and how many years training do you have to do now? A teaching studying?
It's 5 years the program. Yeah.
How many are you in?
I'm just started my fourth year.
Okay. You'll be out there sooner. We need you. Shannon, thank you, and thanks for your background. Good point you make. It's possibly what the Education Secretary was addressing. We'll take more calls. By the way, would you be where you are if you've been successful? If you hadn't have got the... Have you ever actually been asked to produce a certificate that says how many GCSEs or O-levels or A-levels or even T-levels you've got? We'll take your calls on that. Also coming up after the news, after turmoil in Tel Aviv in a local football derby, and we'll tell you about that, Energy Secretary Ed Miliband told Sky News why the Aston Villa game against the Tel Aviv team must go ahead, and that part of Birmingham cannot be a no-go area for Jewish people.
We cannot have a situation where any area is a no-go area for people of a particular religion or from a particular country, and we've got to stamp out all forms of prejudice wherever we find them.
More on that after the 8:30 news. You're listening to Breakfast with me, Nick Ferrari, here on LBC. The headlines are read by Thomas Watts.
Israeli forces say they have begun renewed enforcement of the Gaza ceasefire. The IDF carried out a series of deadly airstrikes yesterday after blaming Hamas for killing two troops in Rafah. The Metropolitan Police is under pressure to begin a full inquiry into claims Prince Andrew asked a police officer to dig up dirt on Virginia Giuffre. Scotland Yard says it's actively looking into the allegations against Andrew, who has always denied wrongdoing. A new post-16 qualification is to be rolled out in an overhaul of the education system in England. Pupils aged 16 to 19 will be able to access vocational V levels, replacing level 3 BTECs and other technical courses. LBC weather, sunny spells and heavy showers in England and Wales, drier for Northern Ireland and Southern Scotland, a high of 16 degrees.
This is LBC.
At Harwoods, we know your car says a lot about you. Maybe that you like to make an entrance, or you'd rather make your escape. That you want to cut a dash, or just cut your emissions. That you like to take the bends, or bring your four-legged friends. Whatever, we speak your language. Come and have a chat at Harwood's Audi, Crawley and Five Oaks, and Harwood's Volvo, Crawley. Details at harwoods.co.uk. Harwood's, family-owned since 1931.
Time's running out on your old assumptions, Brian.
But Argos is just for toys, right?
Wrong.
Sean Corny.
This Samsung Galaxy Watch tracks steps, sleep and heart rate.
Yours is through the roof, Brian. There is more to Argos.
Get the latest tech and more on the Argos app today. Subject to availability in selected stores and argos.co.uk.
Experience. It's knowing the difference between a good deal and, well, a great deal. Right now, get 3 months free when you take out Saga Health Insurance. You get 24/7 GP access whenever you want it. and the freedom to choose your preferred private hospital with your own room should you need it. Search Saga Health Insurance for a quote today. New customers starting a policy before the 27th of November. Pay bi-monthly direct debit for the first year. Terms and conditions apply. Over 50s only.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
With cybersecurity from BT. Protecting businesses of all sizes against cyber threats.
In the field of education, it's front page news, these new V levels. But how is it going down with you as parents and possibly students? 8:33, Gabriella in Bracknell. Gabriella, we're talking about your daughter. Help, might I ask how old she is? Good morning.
Good morning, Nick, and lovely to speak to you. My daughter is 19. She's in her second year at university. She's studying physiotherapy, which you might say is, a vocation. But to get there, at her equivalent of A-levels, she did geography A-level. She did a business studies BTEC, mm-hmm. equivalent to an AS.
Mm-hmm.
She did a dance qualification, which counted, and she did another A-level, I forget me.
Why
I
did
can't
she
remember
have
what that
to
subject
do
was.
Dance to be a physiotherapist?
She didn't have to. She wanted to. She's a fantastic dancer.
Right.
And what we wanted was her to be able to do a variety of courses, be assessed in a variety of ways, both academically and practically, and still pursue her career ambition. So all of those qualifications counted towards her UCAS points.
Okay.
So she got into university.
Okay.
So what I'm saying is these V-levels sound to me like a rebrand. They don't actually sound like a new access route for young people.
What if she were a little younger, what do you think she would have done? Tried to do the same thing and possibly dance would have then been a V-level and not a B-tech? Is that how you imagine it might have played out?
So it wasn't a B-tech, the dance. It was just... It was a qualification, a dance qualification. So
right.
This is what the MP was talking about. There's lots of different, complicated, different qualifications that I think they're just going to rebrand and put all under the heading of V-level. That's what it sounds to me like. I may be
wrong. No, not at all. Is it necessary?
It does make life simpler, I suppose. And I suppose on the other side, I look at this from two perspectives because I work in my organisation. My job is the early careers lead. So my job to look at our talent pipelines through apprenticeship routes, graduate routes and undergraduate internship routes. And I suppose from our perspective, when we're reviewing people's qualifications, it will make things easier if they all come together.
How long have you been in that job?
Many, many years, over 15 years.
Do you think that the quality of teaching of our young people over that 15-year period has improved, has declined, or has stayed roughly the same?
I don't know whether I can talk about the quality of teaching, but I can say that people are coming out of schools less prepared for the workplace, absolutely.
How does that show it? In what way are they less prepared?
So, for example, I'm having to really go back to basics with some of our early careers talent. They don't know how to write an email. They are very nervous to talk to people on the phone. They don't like to do in-person presentations, for example. Now, I think COVID's got a lot to do with this. But, you know, we're really having to go back to basics, talking about behaviours in the workplace.
And how has COVID impacted it?
They just, I think people are much more used and happy to sit behind a laptop and participate or not participate in a meeting like that rather than sit in a room and have to speak to people directly.
What impact did COVID have on your daughter, the girl who is doing a physio? Because she would have been, I'm trying to work it out, what she'd have been doing?
Yeah, 40, she was in secondary school.
13, 14, roughly, when COVID hit. Roughly, right?
Yeah. I mean, I had three children. I had one in primary school at that point.
Oh, boy.
In fact, my son was more impacted because he didn't get to do his A-levels.
Yeah.
So all three of them were impacted. I was still, unfortunately, I wasn't put on furlough, so I was still working full-time. My husband was furloughed, so he was just able to support. We got limited support from the schools, to be fair. And I do worry about those people that didn't have parents that were able to help them.
I think that's a massive impact. Give your daughter my best wishes. I hope she goes well with her physiotherapy class. Gabriella, thank you. More calls coming in on this, particularly again. Would you have got where you are today, hopefully with a degree of success, but have you ever been asked to produce a piece of paper or certificate that showed you've got GCSEs or A-levels or BTECs or whatever it might have been, or even IBs? How many initials do you need? More on that. But let's go to another story. Big story from last week, which was the decision taken by the Birmingham City Council in conjunction with West Midlands Police that they would seek not to allow macabre Markerby fans to come in that game next month in the European Championships. Now, we need to tell you that a football derby in Tel Aviv between Markerby and Hapoel, if I'm saying that correctly, has been cancelled after violent riots. 9 people arrested on Sunday night. The two teams share a venue. Imagine that. Liverpool and Everton. Manchester United, Manchester City, Arsenal and Tottenham. That would be a bit charged, wouldn't it? Statement from Israeli police said the game was called off following disturbances and violent riots. 13 civilians and 3 officers were injured by pyrotechnic devices, otherwise known as fireworks. But to events here in the UK, or indeed in England. Here's an exchange on Sky News yesterday between Trevor Phillips, who you'll hear first, and Energy Secretary Ed Miliband, following that decision to tell fans they cannot come to the game next month at Villa Park.
Is Aston now a no-go area for Jews?
No, and it can't be. And I'm very, very clear about that. And look, I believe we as a country pride ourselves on our diversity, but also our tolerance and our hatred of prejudice, frankly. And so, you know, we cannot have a situation where any area is a no-go area for people of a particular religion or from a particular country. And we've got to stamp out all forms of prejudice, anti-Semitism, Islamophobia, wherever we find them.
Very easy for a politician to say, of course. He's not going to be on the front line if the game was to go ahead. I need to tell you that West Midlands Police now are being asked to provide details of what they feel is necessary to provide full protection for visiting fans and, of course, home fans and people in the area. Eric Stewart is a former officer with the Metropolitan Police, now crowd safety expert, director of Genshin Events and former chair of the UK Crowd Management Association. Well, in the position that you hold and positions that you have held, when you heard the news last week about the decision from Birmingham City Council and West Mids, how did you react? Good morning.
Good morning, Nick, and thanks for having me on the show. I think my initial reaction was probably like most people's, because the way the story broke was that this was about an inability by West Midlands Police to be able to protect the Maccabi fans. And the story has changed rapidly over the course of the weekend and again late last night. But if that was the grounds on which the decision was made, the recommendation from the police to the safety advisory group that they couldn't keep Maccabi fans safe, the recommendation from the SAG then to the holders of the safety certificate, which is
SAG Safety Action Group, Eric?
Safety Advisory Group.
So, I guess just to clarify, go on.
That's the important word in the middle of there, because a lot of the stories last week said that the SAG had made the decision. The SAG is an advisory body. Mm. If it then advised in its strongest terms to the council that it wasn't safe for the game to go ahead with the Maccabi fans present, then the council would have made the decision to ban the fans. Now, that's quite unusual. Banning fans from a game because they have a violent history or background or there is specific intelligence is one thing. But if we're saying, as seemed to be the case on Thursday, that it's because the police couldn't protect that group of fans from others, be they protesters, be they home fans, be they residents, then that is a very unusual set of circumstances and a really worrying and disappointing one.
What needs to happen now then, Eric?
Well, I think what will happen, again, the story changed last night with the disturbances and the rioting, for want of a better word, in Israel. What's probably going to happen, I think, is that we're going to see this more as a bigger policing operation. You know, for the Prime Minister to get involved within a couple of hours of that announcement being made, I think it's unprecedented. I don't recall anything like that. And with commitment...
He didn't really have an option, though, did he?
No. With the strength of feeling and the strength of commitment from all parties, to be fair, that this seems to have been a poor decision, then I think it's very likely that the game will go ahead. But to do that, I think they'll probably end up taking on some of the recommendations of Baroness Casey after the 2021 Wembley Eurofinals, which, I was involved in writing that report. Mm. One of those things is to try to create a sterile zone around the ground, an outer security perimeter zone, which is what failed at Wembley that led to so many of the problems there. It'll be a bigger policing operation, probably with mutual aid from other police forces. But the trouble with that, of course, is that's money. And it's serious money if you're bringing in lots of what they call level 1 and level 2 public order officers, possibly horses, possibly dogs, building a fenced area around a stadium in what is a predominantly residential area. If that's what it needs to guarantee the safety of everybody going, then that's what it takes. But that operation is going to run into hundreds of thousands, potentially even millions of pounds. And the question then is, who's picking up the bill? Is that the residents of the West Midlands, or is that you and I as the taxpayer with some fund coming from government? And that's the answer none of us know yet.
Lastly, this is your background, this is what you do every day, but how on earth do you work out how many blokes and women and horses and dogs and helicopters and God knows what else? How do you work out how many you need for an event?
Well, you work out what the problem is, and then you see if you can try and dissipate some of the problems. So can we keep one set of fans separate from another? And in this case, if the reports are true, but also keep protesters in a separate area.
But is this picking them up at the railway station or the airport, Eric, and literally marshing them in and marshing them out?
Yeah, and I, you know, go back decades, I met Feyenoord fans off ferries when they were going to play at Tottenham, and they were taken from the ferries onto coaches and given a police escort all the way around the M25 and then brought down the A10 and delivered to the doors of the football ground, surrounded by a bubble of police officers where they couldn't do anything. I mean, it didn't stop them climbing on the roof of the coach on the M25 and firing flares into the air, but it did deliver them safely to the ground, and that's the way they were taken back as well. Mm. That's a very expensive and elaborate operation, but if we're saying it's the only way for this to go ahead and keep everybody safe, then those sort of options have got to be looked at.
Policing, dull it isn't, as they used to say. Eric Stewart, I saw him laugh there, former Met officer, now crowd safety expert, director of Genshin Events, and you chaired the UK Crowd Management Association. My goodness, we might pick up on that. Certainly we're going to talk V-levels. And the next hour, arguably, notwithstanding the importance of education for your children, or possibly for you, but the future for Prince Andrew. My exchange with Education Secretary Bridget Phillipson, whether he, Andrew, should be stripped of every possible title going.
We support what the royal family have done so far and the statement that they have put out, but
you wouldn't go further.
Well, as I say, Prince Andrew holds the title of Prince because he is the son of a monarch, and, you know, that's as it is.
It is indeed, and we'll return to that in the next hour. It is 8:45, LBC News headlines, read by Thomas Watts.
Efforts are underway by the US and Arab nations to shore up the Gaza ceasefire after it was seriously tested over the weekend. Scotland Yard is being urged to open a full inquiry into the latest allegations against Prince Andrew, and a new post-16 qualification is to be rolled out in an overhaul of the education system in England. LBC weather, sunny spells and heavy showers in England and Wales, drier in southern Scotland and Northern Ireland, a high of 16 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. Only one lane's open on the M25 clockwise, just after junction 27 at the M11 following an accident. Severe delays both ways, and also on the M11 southbound from junction 7 at Harlow. In Richmond, George Street is blocked northbound because a bus has broken down. That's causing queues. And in Ashford, Kingston Road, which is the A308, is blocked westbound, and that's also after an accident. On the trains, no Gatwick Express services running at all. Also, Stansted Express and Greater Anglia services are delayed by about 40 minutes going via Broxbourne. On London Overground, the Mildmay line is suspended between Willesden Junction and Richmond, and no district line between Turnham Green and Richmond.
This is LBC. Experience. It's knowing when something is worth waiting for and when it isn't. That's why Saga Health Insurance offers unlimited GP appointments whenever you need them. With a choice of flexible plans, prompt tests and treatment, your health is taken care of. And right now, get 3 months free. Search Saga Health Insurance for a quote today. New customers starting a policy before the 27th of November. Pay by monthly direct debit for the first year. Terms and conditions apply. Over 50s only.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060973. LBC.
We had our smart meter installed a year ago, and it's made things so much easier. Not having to submit meter readings or having to deal with estimated bills is great.
A smart meter sends meter readings direct to your energy supplier. It means you get accurate bills, not estimated bills, and you don't even need an internet connection. Call your energy supplier to request a smart meter today.
Real testimonials voiced by actors. Eligibility may vary.
Julie could part exchange her car. Or check out We Buy Any Car. She could be unsure if she got a good deal part exchanging. Or have cash in the bank with more bargaining power to get a bigger car for her five-a-side team. Totally played. Or total player. To get a quote in 30 seconds, enter your reg number now at webuyanycar.com.
A Southern train is a place where you can have more me time. A chance to recharge yourself and your phone. To stretch out, sit back, and when you hear "all change, please," you'll know you already have. Go with your flow and save with advanced tickets at southernrailway.com. Terms apply.
Sharing intimate photos of her without her consent.
Unwanted touching. Unwanted comments. Unwanted nudes.
Controlling what she can and can't wear.
Controlling who she can and can't see.
Threatening her.
Enough. This is abuse.
If you think it's wrong, act on it.
Call it out, show support, report it.
There are many ways you can safely tackle violence against women and girls. Find out how at gov.uk/enough. If someone is in danger, call 999.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
With cybersecurity from BT. Solutions to help any size business stay protected.
A story that's not going to go away. We'll come back to education, but let's talk about these Maccabi fans who want to come to Birmingham the beginning of next month for a European football match. David's in South Woodford. David, should they come? Hundreds of thousands of pounds, possibly nudging millions. Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. We just have to look back at the Ajax and Maccabi match in which we had a lot of violence.
Yes, on both sides.
Yeah. Both sides. That was in November 24. The Dutch National Security Agency investigated, came out with a report in July 25, saying that it was instigated by the Maccabi fans. And more importantly, the report branded Israel a national security threat, because straight after the game, Israel launched a misinformation campaign.
You're being rather selective, because in court, of course, it was also called, and I apologise for this language, but that there was a Jew hunt on in parts of the city as well.
I'm coming to my point, please, Nick.
I'll decide it. Thank you. Just so that we get this absolutely right. So I want to hear what you want to say, but I have to provide that balance.
Thank you, Nick. For a country to brand Israel a national security threat, what my fear is, if the match goes ahead and there is problems, there's fights, Israel will get involved in another misinformation campaign, stoking more issues in this country. This is my point, which was picked up by the Netherlands national
security. You can never govern anything with fear, David, ever. Ever. Whether it's governing a country, whether it's policing, you do not do it with fear. You do it with respect, you do it with consideration, but you do it with discipline and with laws, and that's what must take place here. You cannot decide a game, cannot go ahead, because you're frightened something might happen. That is not how policing works, David.
Nick, if I can quote Steve Witkoff, gave an interview to ABC 2 days ago, Israel is out of control.
Okay, so we're talking football now, David, okay? So I'm happy to talk about that another time, but if we can limit it to football, and I would ask for a response, you cannot police with fear. Can't work, ever.
What we fear is interference from Israel, because this is a team from Israel.
Okay, all right. I think we've talked. I know you want, and I understand that you want to take it, and I respect you want to move it on. Can we, on this occasion, restrict it to the football team? I'd be grateful. We will, David, talk again about the situation in the Middle East. I'm sure, sadly, I fear there will be more loss of life. The ceasefire is just about clinging on. So, David, thank you for your input, but let's limit it even to the football. We'll come back to that in a moment. Let's talk education. The idea of these V levels. I'm asking you whether you got where you are without any form of levels, A's, O's, GCSEs, whatever. Davey, I got 10 GCSEs. I was only ever asked for them for my first job. After that, it was experience that mattered. I've been in engineering for 35 years. Dave in York, I'm afraid that was a clueless politician. Okay, thank you for that. Dawn in Beckenham, it's not surprising your callers are saying the PE teaches maths, or the French teacher is teaching maths. When I was at school during the medieval period, teachers could not just teach one subject, they had to pick two. Well, I remember my music teacher, age 14, was also our sexual affairs, or whatever you call it, sex education teacher, in an all-boys school, the music teacher. How do you think that went down? Shannon, you mentioned some schools offer the IB, International Baccalaureate. My daughter goes to a fantastic grammar school in Kent that offers it. We've just been told funding for the program in state schools has been cut. As a result, they won't be able to offer it from next year. And it was a key reason we chose the school. What this means in reality is hardly any state schools will offer the IB at all. And children who would really thrive under that kind of education will only have the option if their families can afford private school, which just is not realistic for most people. I can understand that. I understand how many people love the IB. Jason in Redditch. Jason, you're an employer. What do you look for when you see qualifications or bits of paper thrust at you? Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. Thanks for having me on. You're right. A lot of employers are my generation, if we play into the generation game, Gen X or probably millennials. I know there's a lot of youngsters setting up businesses, and that's absolutely wonderful. But generally, people of my generation are, and my children were the generation where the standard typical GCSEs were switched from what we recognise A, B, C, D's to the sort of numerical system.
Yeah, nines and eights and God knows what else.
Three children gone through this, and I don't understand it, but no. I really should. That's on me. But as an employer, it really is. Just like one of your last comments, I look for experience. Yes, I want to see that they've got a base grasp of maths, English, and something relevant to the job, ideally, but on in-house training can be given and support can be given.
What field are you in, Jason? What field are you in?
I'm a chartered surveyor.
Right, okay.
Yeah. So with myself, university education is important if it's relevant as a pathway through to the RICS. But you can do things through sort of what we used to call the grandfather route in my day, which was through experience, show your professionalism, show what you've learned, and then go through different things through to the personal assessment panels and go through everything else. But I just find that, again, this is more tinkering, and employers are left sort of wondering, well, what does this mean? What's this the equivalent to? I think one of your callers mentioned earlier that the pathway that does what was equivalent to an A star.
Yeah, that's
so,
right.
And I find a lot of people are doing that now. They're saying, well, I've got this, and it's an equivalent to.
Let me ask you, when people present themselves to you for a possible job, how important is what's written on their CV, i.e. 8 GCSEs, 3 A's, and they've got their own driving licence and they like yachting, and how important is it how the person presents themselves?
It's incredibly important.
I agree.
Not to have a degree in yachting if you want to go into property. But it's incredibly important to see how they present themselves in the interview. Does the way they present match what you see on paper?
Yep.
Do you see that?
Do you ever have someone who's overeducated, i.e. they've got all the letters under the sun, they've got nines and they've got A stars, they can't actually talk?
Yeah. It happened pretty recently, to be honest. Mm. And it was all sort of, you're a professional student. I don't see how you're going to progress in the real world. But you do see this, and all credit to them, and their pathway is probably far more academic than mine ever could be.
Yep.
They just need that directing. But as far as employers are concerned, I think the government tinker far too much. They keep changing. I recognise BTEC, City Year Girls, GCSEs A to D, that sort of stuff.
Good on you. Jason, good luck. Thanks for all your input as an employer. Javid in Barking. Javid, your son did, so what qualifications did he get?
He wanted to do it in computer science.
Right.
And when he started sixth form, he had an extra subject as a further maths. And he did very good on his education. He had a 2 A start.
Yep.
And two B.
Right.
What happened when he applied for the universities? About 3 universities doesn't accept him.
Ah.
It was shocking for us.
So what happened next? What did you do?
He said, "Dad, I want to take 1 year off." And since he had a 1 year off, this year, he applied more than 10 places for work. 10 places.
And
none of them has got any work.
I understand it's bloody tough out there at the minute.
And my other son is on year 11 right now, so he's probably going to be on 14,
15.
Yeah. So that's why, Nick, that's why we got a problem with the youngsters now, all mentality problem. So when a kid's working so hard on education, nowhere, I said, oh, I want to go to the dad.
Do you think this will change, lastly, because the education secretary would say it's exactly like your lad who's 15, 16, so that they don't become not in employment education or training? Do you think it will have that impact, lastly?
100%.
100%? Well, let's hope it does. Good luck to them. Javid, thank you. Let's finish, about a minute to go, with a call, appropriately enough, on the Aston Villa game, from Birmingham, and John. John, does the game go ahead with the fans? Good morning.
Right, Nick, this one's really got my goat on this one. The government needs to step off, stop getting involved in football. I'm a lifelong Villa fan, and you know what? It's been heartbreaking to see the fingers that have been pointed at the club. The club have had nothing to do with this.
I don't think this is anyone's to do with blaming the West Midlands Villa, are they? Does anyone blame... I don't...
Yeah, but you read the forums, Nick. Everybody is pointing at the club, and everybody's saying it's the club's issues. Now, for me, the big thing here is... West Midlands Police are not going to have done what they've done unless there is some information. And we're never going to be party to that. They're never going to tell us that. Now, being a Villa fan, in order to get this match over the line, right, we'll do it behind closed doors. Let's just keep it simple.
But then you give in.
I'll give up.
No, but then you give in to these threats of violence.
No, but Nick, it's not about that, because now what happens is that gets overturned, Nick.
Mm-hmm.
What happens is that gets overturned, Nick, and there's a stabbing. Someone dies.
But you can't police by terms of what ifs. That means you would never allow any event to go ahead. And if you want, and I think we're going to be, Villa Park is going to be hosting the Euros. You cannot
exactly.
You cannot have a situation where West Midlands, say, one of the principal stadiums in the land, one of the great stadiums, one of the most historic stadiums, sorry, it's a no-go area for certain nationalities. You can't allow that, John. It's bigger than one particular game. It really is.
But why would the police are doing this week in, week out? I remember the old rivalries we have locally. I remember going down when they literally had the riot horses out back in the day. Now, they did not stop those matches.
No, and they must not stop this match. Because you must not stop this game.
Because there's got to be
we're
some...
not stopping the game.
No, I'm not saying about stopping the game. Let's do it behind closed doors.
Listen, let's you and I respectfully... Hey, what about that last goal against Spurs on the weekend?
Absolute blinder. Absolutely. And that's my other thing. I don't want my team getting knocked. Their confidence is knocked because of... and their eyes getting taken off the prize. I want that Europa League Cup this season.
I'll tell you what, mate. They didn't look as though they were missing confidence on Saturday or whatever game the game was played. They were great.
They were blinding. But what about Leicester, Nick?
Oh, mate, I don't know. The mid-table, why we would hire the former manager of Queen's Park Rangers. Just let it be, John. Villa's my second team, as I think you might have told me, because my late brother Simon supported Aston Villa, so I always keep an eye on Villa. Great result for you. Music means we must move on. Look after yourself up there in Villa Park, coming up after the news. As Andrew allegedly told the Met to dig up dirt on Virginia Giuffre, and that book is now actually launched. What now for the future of Andrew?
The worst thing about all of this for the Royal Family is that it is completely overshadowing their work. The King is doing some very significant engagement today, very significant moving, which will be overshadowed by this.
So that's the Sunday Times Royal Editor, Roya Nika, and we'll see beat more on that, what you want to see for Prince Andrew, plus the report that says that women's care in the NHS is still stuck in the 90s. I want to hear your stories on that. 9 o'clock news on LBC is next, though.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 9 o'clock, the US and Arab states are involved in efforts to shore up the Gaza ceasefire. Israeli forces carried out a series of airstrikes yesterday, which Palestinian officials say killed dozens of people. The IDF says it was targeting Hamas following the deaths of two Israeli troops. President Trump's been speaking to reporters on board Air Force One.
We want to make sure that it's going to be very peaceful with Hamas. And as you know, they've been quite rambunctious. They've been doing some shooting, and we think maybe the leadership isn't involved in that, you know, some rebels within. But either way, it's going to be handled properly. It's going to be handled toughly, but properly.
Is the ceasefire still in place?
Yeah, it is.
The Metropolitan Police is facing calls to open a full inquiry into the latest allegations against Prince Andrew. It's reported he asked a protection officer to dig up dirt about Virginia Giuffre, who accused him of sexual misconduct. Andrew, who's always denied wrongdoing, gave up his Duke of York title on Friday. The Education Secretary, Bridget Phillipson, was asked by Nick whether he should be forced to go further.
Many of Prince Andrew's titles have been removed. Of course, he is a prince by virtue of the fact he is the son of a monarch. And, you know, in Parliament, people often seek to debate a range of issues. This isn't for the government to insert ourselves into, but, you know, MPs will often want to discuss a number of topics and have vehicles within Parliament to do so, should they choose.
The Education Secretary has also told Nick that an overhaul of post-16 qualifications will address a confusing system. Hundreds of vocational subjects will be turned into V-levels to be studied together or studied alongside A-levels in England. They will replace Level 3 BTECs and some other technical courses. Armed forces are to be given new powers to shoot down unidentified drones threatening British military bases. The Defence Secretary, John Healey, is set to announce the plans following a series of Russian incursions in NATO airspace. The Tel Aviv football derby between Maccabi and Hapoel was called off last night after clashes between fans. Israeli police say serious violence led to the decision to cancel the game. Ministers here are working to overturn a ban on Maccabi supporters attending a tie at Aston Villa next month. In the city, the FTSE 100 a short time ago was up 47 at 94.02. The pound buys $1.34 and a euro 14. LBC weather, sunny spells and heavy showers across England and Wales, drier for Northern Ireland and southern Scotland, a high of 16 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Thomas Watts.
I'm here with Charlie Bigham, and there is a lovely hint of spice in the air.
It's my chicken tikka masala. I start by browning the onions with garlic and ginger, then add hand-selected spices and tender yogurt-marinated chicken.
Smells amazing. I'm getting cumin, coriander, turmeric.
Yes, and a little fenugreek. Then I finish the rich masala sauce with mango chutney and nigella seeds. Cheers.
We should do curry night every week.
Only if you learn to cook.
Charlie Bigham's.
Handmade in my kitchen. Cooked in yours.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
Good morning, 4 minutes after nine, Monday, October the 20th. What now for Prince Andrew as police investigations could begin on both sides of the Atlantic? And I'll share with you some of the parts. It's a heart-rending book. The Virginia Giuffre, of course, the victim, the woman who took her life, who claimed those various sexual acts in which the prince was involved. Of course, he denies all responsibility. In other matters, we come back home for this one. Women's health care in the UK is stuck in the 90s. Red tape is blocking treatment for females, so the Women's Health Ambassador has warned. I want to hear your personal stories on that concerning revelation.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
Have you heard what's happened to Baron Killily? Or the Earl of Inverness? Those were other titles bestowed on the Duke of York, along with, of course, Knight of the Garter and countless Colonel-in-Chiefs. All gone. The whole lot. Gone. Now, he voluntarily, of course, stood back, stepped down, stepped aside, whatever the expression might be, just before the weekend. But what now for his future? As the royal, we'll play you a little bit of what I had in a conversation with a royal watcher. The king is at some point this week going to be, I understand, in the Vatican, praying with the Pope. Hugely significant. Head of the Church of England, head of the Catholic Church. Phenomenal. All this will be overshadowed by the most unwholesome claims denied by the prince of inappropriate behaviour. I shared one of them with you at the start of the show in this book, which is officially published tomorrow, although somehow some copies have already been sent to a bookshop in London, the book written by Virginie Giuffre, Nobody's Girl, a memoir of surviving abuse and fighting for justice, in which she claims, by the way, she was sexually abused by her own father as a young girl. I won't go into the details, they are particularly unwholesome. But she also claims she had sex three times with the prince, one of which was with the prince and Epstein, the dead, disgraced paedophile, and she was one of seven or eight girls. She believed many of the others, she was 17 at the time, many of the others were younger than that, most of whom had little command of English. This all took place on Epstein's island. Denied. By Prince Andrew. We better get that out there. Should we remind ourselves of just a bit that now infamous interview back in 2019 on the BBC with Emily Maitlis.
One of Epstein's accusers, Virginia Roberts, has made allegations against you. She says she met you in 2001. She says she dined with you, danced with you at Tramp nightclub in London. She went on to have sex with you in a house in Belgravia belonging to Ghislaine Maxwell, your friend. Your response?
I have no recollection of ever meeting this lady.
None whatsoever.
You don't remember meeting her?
No.
Emily Maitlis there. What on... How... Mind you, he's not that nervous because, of course, he's a man who can't sweat, so he won't have had sweaty palms over it, but how he must surely... Even he must rue the day he decided to do that. So what now for Prince Andrew and for the King and, for that matter, Prince William? If you read the press over the weekend, apparently William is far more strident on this and has said that he doesn't want he, William, doesn't want he, Prince Andrew, at his, William's, coronation. Let's hope that day is a long, long, long way off. But he's made that quite plain. And if you recall the video footage from the funeral, I believe it was last month, it was very recent, with the Duchess of Kent, what was Andrew thinking, sidling up? And the way William effectively treats him like a bad smell, just won't even look in his direction. And even the King, his, Andrew's brother, keeps the conversation pretty terse. When the first hour of the show I spoke with Royal Editor of the Sunday Times, Roya Nicker, you might have seen some of her content in the paper yesterday. And she said the situation leaves the royal family in a difficult predicament.
Andrew does, as you say, retain all those titles. He is still at Royal Lodge. And so it's my understanding, you know, the one place he won't be is at William's coronation, whenever that happens. It's very hard to... I think it's a slightly... not easy, but it's harder for the King to deal with his brother than it is for potentially Prince William down the line with his uncle. But, you know, who knows what's going to happen over the next few days and weeks. The worst thing about all of this for the royal family, of course, they're thinking about the victims of Virginie Giuffre. Prince Andrew didn't for way too long, is that it is completely overshadowing their work. And today, the King, hasn't been announced yet, but the King is doing some very significant engagements today, very significant moving, which will be overshadowed by this.
Imagine the frustration for the King, trying to achieve all he can. He's not a man with impeccable health either, poor bloke. He's getting over cancer, and he's got his brother behaving in this fashion and just dominating the headlines for all the wrong reasons. What do you want to see happen to Prince Andrew? And what about the political moves? There's an MP, I just want to make sure I get the right guy, Stephen Flynn, that's right, who's the SNP leader in Westminster, telling the Daily Telegraph, the family of Virginia Giuffre, whose life was destroyed, are angry and aghast. The public across these aisles are angry and aghast. They both deserve to know that some MPs share their outrage. I won't sit silent. If an act of Parliament is required to strip the likes of Peter Mandelson and Prince Andrew of their titles, there can be no justification from this Labour government as to why this is not immediately happening. Well, something I put to a senior member of the government, Education Secretary Bridget Phillipson. I asked whether it's right Andrew retains the Royal Lodge, this 30-room mansion in Windsor.
I'm afraid I don't know the arrangements surrounding his use of that accommodation or how that is decided.
Would you support parliamentary procedure to officially remove him his titles?
Well, as we know from the statement that the royal family have issued that we support, many of Prince Andrew's titles have been removed. Of course, he is a prince by virtue of the fact he is the son of a monarch. And, you know, in Parliament, people often seek to debate a range of issues. This isn't for the government to insert ourselves into, but, you know, MPs will often want to discuss a number of topics and have vehicles within Parliament to do so, should they choose.
But would you support that? Were it to be, there are movements, the SNP are making movements that he should be stripped of all official titles. Is it something you would support?
Well, we support what the royal family have done so far in the statement that they have put out, but...
You wouldn't go further?
Well, as I say, Prince Andrew holds the title of prince because he is the son of a monarch, and, you know, that's as it is.
Dancing on the head of a pin a little bit there. So what did you make of it in the first hour? Should he be stripped of all the titles you can think of? Bear in mind, of course, the impact. You have to have a degree of sympathy for his daughters, Princesses Beatrice and Eugenie. They're not responsible for their father's allegedly grotesque actions. Certainly you can say grotesque behaviour. I'm happy to be sued for that. His behaviour has been grotesque. Sidling up to the future king, sidling up to the current king, almost trying to make himself the centre of the story at someone's funeral. I can happily put my name to that being grotesque. But what did you make of it? Let's start with Craig in Liverpool.
I think when we look at it these days, in terms of innocent or proven guilty, that applies to everyone. But just by removing a title so he's duped him, he's still referred to as Prince Andrew. And that's what so many people see, people as princes and princesses. It should be Andrew Windsor, totally stripped of it. And for somebody who was who went through abuse as a younger man, I understand how rings of people work.
Tony in Chichester.
Well, surely the Royal Protection Team, who are with him 24/7, must know something. Did he meet the girl? What happened on the island? They must know something. And surely they need to be interviewed as well. But Prince Andrew should have been questioned under caution years ago when these allegations first came out.
Let's just see what Ed Miliband said on the BBC. I think people want to look at those allegations and what the substance is behind them, but that, if that is correct, that is absolutely not the way that close protection officers should be used. Very much the point there that Tony was making. John's in Chigwell. John, what should happen next? This man appears to know no shame. Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. 0345 6060.
Well, I don't think you'll go away with that, old boy. I'm too quick on the draw. Now, John, are you going? Are we going to have a conversation, or are you just going to chant numbers at me?
That's a special number. That's a special number to you.
It's an unknown number to me.
Yeah, one of these days I'm going to offer
my social security number. Go on, sorry.
One of these days I'm going to offer money to charity for that.
Oh, Nick, that's the solution for the next make noise. Make some noise.
Exactly. I remember where the idea come from, yeah? Right. Nick.
You're a funny man. Well done. You've really given me a chuckle today. Right. No chuckles with Andrew. What happens next, mate?
Nick, do you think he voluntarily gave up his titles?
No.
No, of course he didn't. Because Charles doesn't like him, and Prince William absolutely can't.
I think we can say that there's an active dislike there.
And he can't. You know, his title, the Prince. Yeah, I want everyone to get this into their head, because that can't be taken away from him. He was born a prince, mm-hmm. right? So everything else has been bestowed on him, but he's born a prince, so that can't be taken away from him. I mean, he can renounce it himself. But
yes. Can't we just send him off to be the governor of the Bahamas, like we did with King Edward?
Isn't there anywhere smaller?
Well, I suppose we could give him Isle of Sheppey.
Even Canvey Island.
What's your view, lastly, of Sarah Ferguson, because that's all she is now, taking her daughters to visit Epstein in New York after he was released from prison? Among the first visitors to see him.
You know, I'm baffled by the whole thing. I just don't understand the whole thing. You know, I don't understand why she sent him emails after in the public. She's saying, I don't want anything to do with him, and then she's sending him lovely emails, and
maybe $15,000 occasionally helped. He paid off some of her debts, reportedly.
Well, so that would help. I mean, if that's what she's been doing, if they've been getting money, if she's been getting money off him,
If we're talking numbers, John, what's that telephone number again?
0345.
And that's all you're going to get, John, because the rest is going to be done for money. You've got a sense of humour. Have yourself a good day. We'll stay with us. Plus, I do want to hear your stories. This is just for women. As the women's health czar, as she's called, talks about the shocking lack of care within the NHS for women, a real case of discrimination. I'll give you more details after the 9:15 LBC News headlines, read by Thomas Watts.
Efforts are underway by the US and Arab states to shore up the Gaza ceasefire. Scotland Yard is being urged to open a full inquiry into the latest allegations against Prince Andrew, and a new post-16 qualification is to be rolled out in an overhaul of the education system in England. LBC weather, sunny spells and heavy showers in England and Wales, drier in Scotland and Northern Ireland. A high of 16 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. Delays on the M1 southbound to Junction 11 at Dunstable. And that's because a car's broken down and one lane is closed for recovery. Also, delays continue on the M25 clockwise to Junction 27 at the M11 after an accident, but all the lanes are now back open. Delays on the M40 southbound to Junction 4 at High Wycombe. That was after that car was on fire earlier. In Richmond, George Street stays closed eastbound, and in Ashford, Kingston Road stays closed westbound. And both of those closures are causing delays. Greater Anglia services and Stansted Express services are severely delayed via Broxbourne, delays of up to an hour, and still no Gatwick Express. The entire line is suspended.
This is LBC.
Dulux Trade Vinyl Matte Paint is made by us.
And approved by professional painters like me and you.
It's made for great flow and open time.
So it goes on easy as you like, every time.
And it's made for ultimate opacity and coverage.
A couple of coats and you're good to go.
Dulux Trade Vinyl Matte. It's made by us.
And approved by you. And me.
For a great all-rounder, pick up a can of Dulux Trade Vinyl Matte today.
Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060973. LBC.
Simone combined her old pensions with Pension B.
So I had multiple pensions from various jobs that I have been in, and every 6 months or so I would receive a statement, and I was losing track of all my different pensions and all the different statements. I just wanted one easy way of keeping them all in one place.
At Pension B, we believe that when your pension is in a good place, you're in a good place. Download the app or go to pensionb.com and be pension confident. When investing, your capital is at risk.
Big, big, big motoring world. Wow, wow, wow motoring world.
Yes, that's right. Big Motoring World is also Wow Motoring World because we price check our cars every day to guarantee you our best price with up to 95% of them below market value. Big Motoring World, we're big on what matters to you. See website for nearest store. Visit bigmotoringworld.co.uk or one of our stores for our price promise and terms and conditions.
A Thameslink train is a place where you can just switch off. Where you have the chance to scroll your feeds as you roll past fields. Or simply relax with a podcast, playlist or power nap. Go with your flow and save with advance tickets at thameslinkrailway.com. Terms apply.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
With cybersecurity from BT. Protect your small business and understand cybersecurity.
I'll just bring you some suggestions coming in on emails and texts as regards the future of Prince Andrew. I suggested giving him the Isle of Sheppey. Dave says, Nick from the Isle of Sheppey, it's a Dave, we don't want Andrew either. There's another one. This comes in, here we are, yes, Matthew King. How about the governorship of the Falklands? We'll see. Scott, you're the next caller on that. But I just want to tell you that it's being reported that 23, no, in total, more than 23 websites and apps, including Amazon, Snapchat. Oh, my God, Wordle is down. I'll have a furious wife on my hands if that's true. Mind you, I solved it yesterday. She was on her last go. How she couldn't see. Was it Ideal? It was Ideal, I think, or something. I can't remember what it was. I think it was Ideal. I looked at it, I said, well, it's Ideal. What's the matter with you? Oh, you're so clever. That's why I married you. You're so clever. Well, I'm not. It's obvious, blindingly obvious. Anyway, Amazon, Snapchat, New York Times, Wordle, 24 other websites, and that's down. Disruptions began at around 7:30. I'm going to say that's UK time. Hundreds of people saying their apps are not working. Many of the applications operate on Amazon Web Services. Wordle users are being asked, please try again later. This is a maintenance break. All right. If we get more on that, but if you are having trouble accessing Wordle, why don't I just tell everyone what the word is today, just to annoy everyone? I might do that, actually. That would be funny. Put it out. I'll get it. It's the only thing I've got any skills at. Scott's in West Hampton. What's the future for Prince Andrew? Good morning.
Hi, Nick. Well, my view is that he was born a prince. He's the son of a monarch of the lovely, great Queen Elizabeth II, and he'll die a prince.
I think he probably will.
I don't think that title... I'm incredibly sad. I mean, I go back a long way. I mean, it was King George VI was on the throne when I was born, and I remember the Queen's coronation. I remember getting a lovely little gold plastic coach, and I was 3 years old at the time.
Right.
And I love the royal family. I'm incredibly sad for what's happening. I'm sad for the victims, these girls who were trafficked. I mean, it's just absolutely horrific. But I'm sad for the royal family too. More sad than angry. And I think that Prince Andrew, he'll need to keep a low profile now for the rest of his life.
Why do you like the royals so much? I'm not saying you shouldn't, by the way. I'm just interested.
My late mother loved the royals. My late mother was a year older than Queen Elizabeth, and she loved the Queen so much. I mean, I'm getting a bit emotional now.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
No.
Is your love for the royals is, in a sense, caught up with your love for your mum?
Yes, that's right. That's right. She loved the Queen so much, and I did as a youngster too. And I'm incredibly sad for the whole royal family. I am angry with Andrew. I mean, with Prince Andrew. He's.
Well, lastly, sadly, I don't think this is an area known to him. But what would the decent thing be for him to do?
Well, I don't know whether he should leave the Royal Lodge. I mean, I guess he will. That will happen. I'm sure that will happen. Yes. I mean, why does he need all that space anyway? And I feel sorry for Princess Eugenie and the two princesses.
Yeah,
I feel very... They must be so embarrassed and hurt. And it's just a very sad situation. And
It is, and I can hear your love for the family reflects your love for your mum. Scott, we'll talk again soon. Thank you. Christine, you'll be the next caller on that. But, Christine, you might be interested in this because it's all about your health, or at least women's health, across the whole of the country. Women's healthcare in the UK is stuck in the 90s. Red tape is blocking treatments on the NHS, so says Dame Leslie Regan. That's pretty significant, as she's the Women's Health Ambassador. She claims women and girls are let down by successive governments' failures to take their health seriously. Gosh, I'd love to speak with this woman. What she means by that? She announced plans for an open-door policy to make it easier for treatments, technology and tests to become available on the NHS. She was speaking at the Women's Health Week Europe conference in London. She said she was frequently asked if health stats, i.e. statistics, in the UK were from 1995, not 2025. I should tell you, this woman is also a professor of obstetrics and gynaecology at Imperial College London. She says, quotes, "We've really let girls and women down." Going on to cite figures showing women suffer disproportionately from conditions such as osteoporosis, dementia and frailty, with more than 600,000 women on the NHS waiting list for hospital gynaecological treatment. And the gender health gap costs the economy $36 billion a year through lost productivity. I'd love to ask how she got to that figure, but let's get some background. Dr. Sarah Gray is a GP specialist in women's health, non-executive director of the Primary Care Women's Health Society, providing education for healthcare professionals. Some of what I've read out, Doctor, does it chime with your personal experiences? Good morning.
Good morning, and totally. I've been doing women's health since 1987, so, you know, there's a big overlap there. And there has been low priority for a very long time. About 3 years ago, we did a big briefing exercise and a women's health strategy was launched, and it's been watered down ever since. And indeed, Wes Streeting last year said that it was no longer going to be one of the priorities because it was too expensive.
How does this represent itself then, Doctor? If I present myself at the hospital nearest to you, why do you sense I might get preferential treatment to my wife or a woman?
Well, it's the women's health conditions tend to be long-standing conditions. There are emergencies, but most of it isn't emergencies. Most of it is something that requires a lot of unpicking and understanding. I ran locally a specialist level menopause service for 15 years.
Oh, right.
And in 2016, it was decommissioned, and I was told verbatim, this isn't something that the NHS needs to spend money on. I've been there. I've done it. It's not regarded as a priority. It's regarded as something that can be kept going. I've got a colleague who set up a service in Bath, and that was pulled back because there wasn't enough money.
What was the service? Just to get a bit more detail, what was that service?
She was providing a screening service so that referrals to gynae were essentially screened, and the ones that could be managed simply, and it's not even fast-tracked. It's that which could be managed medically that didn't need operations could then be seen and sorted by people that knew what they thought they were doing. And they set it all up, and within a year it was dismantled because there wasn't enough money. It happens.
What needs to be done?
Priority, research. As an example, in Germany, women would habitually go once a year to essentially an office gynaecologist, not somebody that does operations, but basically reviews their health. And it's
sorry, in their workplace,
across the board.
No,
actually, it's almost parallel to the GP system in Germany.
Okay.
So we would see people who've come back from Germany who say, "I want my annual checkup," and the NHS doesn't do that.
What
doesn't
age
ask
range
about
in
their
Germany? What age is a girl when she starts and a woman when she finishes?
I couldn't tell you exactly,
okay,
but it's likely to be 20 to 60.
Right.
That sort of age range. What's happening to your periods? You know, what's your blood pressure? What's your weight? Have you had your breast checked? All of those things, all pulled together, and we don't do anything like that at all in the UK.
Lastly, and this is a real layman's question, but given the extraordinary changes that happen in a woman's body, and of course the ability also to give birth, is women's health more complex than, as an average woman's health needs and potential risks, more complex than an average bloke's?
It's different, and it applies at different ages. The complexity happens during the economically productive years, which can make it less economically productive. Men's health tends to start causing problems more from the age towards retirement, and that might be where the difference lies. I'm just surmising here.
Yeah. Enjoyed our conversation. Thank you, Doctor. Sarah Gray, GP Specialist in Women's Health and Non-Executive Director of the Primary Care Women's Health Society. Good luck with the work you're doing there. Let's get to Christine in Richmond. I might ask you a question as well, your reaction to that story, but I know you've got a view on Prince Andrew. Good morning, Christine. What do you want to say to that?
Oh, good morning. Can we not show an awful lot more consideration to the King? He has already succumbed to cancer.
Well, he hasn't succumbed, thank God. Long may it be a while, but he's fighting cancer, yes.
Yes, and he's having to.
Yes.
And he doesn't deserve what's going on.
Well, it's not outdoing, is it?
He has spent his whole life working so hard on our behalf and doing the right thing all the time. How would we feel if it was our son? A lot of people...
It's his brother. It's his brother. But he is in a unique position, Christine. That's why it's not... Well, my brothers are no longer with us. But it would be utterly irrelevant if my brothers, which highly unlikely they would behave in that fashion, because no one cares. But I'm afraid with the King of England, the King of the United Kingdom, they do. That's the reality, Christine.
Yes, but do we have to gossip, like fishwives? Any time you turn on the radio or the TV, they're going over and over and over. There are so many people who do these dreadful
yes,
things.
But Christine, they're not eighth in line to the throne. They're not the brother of the king, the uncle of the next king. That's what makes this different.
I'm not saying deal with it and deal with him.
Yes.
But
well, how would you deal with him?
Really have the right to go on and on and on about it all the time. Not fair.
All right. What do you think Andrew should do?
Oh, I think he should just be dealt with. I don't think it's up to Andrew, is it, really?
Well, if he had any decency, he'd take the heat out of it and just walk off someplace and go live on the Isle of Wight or wherever.
Well, I mean, he should, to start off with.
Leave Windsor, this 30-room mansion. Christine, thank you for that. Strong views. I hear what you say. Obviously, as a journalist, I rather dispute what you say. But I'm grateful for your input, and we'll take more calls on that. Also, we're going to talk about women's health as well, and the fact that, and obviously, I don't know this, you're going to have to help me with this. In many instances, the healthcare that you are receiving as girls or women is rooted in the 90s. Plus, also, after the news...
The Met Police is pulling thousands of officers away from London streets on Bonfire Night, one of the worst nights of the year for crime because of strike action. I'm LBC's Joseph Draper, live with the exclusive.
Yeah, more details on that exclusive from Joseph after the headlines. It's 9:30, breakfast with me, Nick Ferrari on LBC. Headlines from Thomas Watts.
A major outage is affecting dozens of websites, online games and mobile apps. The problems appear to be linked to an issue at Amazon Web Services, which sits behind many popular websites. Efforts are underway to shore up the Gaza ceasefire after both sides accused each other of breaching the truce. The Israeli military says its troops opened fire on people who crossed the yellow line of withdrawal earlier this morning. Scotland Yard is being urged to open a full inquiry into the latest allegations against Prince Andrew. It's reported he asked a protection officer to dig up dirt about his accuser, Virginia Giuffre. LBC weather, sunny spells and heavy showers across England and Wales, drier in Northern Ireland and Southern Scotland, a high of 16 degrees.
This is LBC.
Our lives are becoming more reliant on electricity than ever. We're streaming, cooking, working, charging our cars, even sending that hilarious joke in the group chat. So soon we'll need even more electricity. We could be harnessing more affordable sources of homegrown energy, but we need to grow our electricity grid to connect it. Leave that with us, and we'll leave you to overanalyze the excruciating silence of seeing two ticks, but no reply. Moving the grid forward moves us all forward.
For the nappies, peekaboos and tea parties, mess, tantrums and sleepless nights, all those yo-yos, action figures and shinies, lifts to mates, lifts to parties, lifts everywhere. For each and every one of those teenage years. Let's be honest. You probably owe your parents one. So tell them about pension credit. It could boost their pension income by an average of over £4,000 a year. Pension credit. Credit where credit's due.
Eligibility criteria apply.
Imagine a delicious patty nestled between two buns with cheese and ketchup. It's not a burger. That patty is actually sausage, which makes this a sandwich. A breakfast sausage sandwich. The new $1.99 sausage sandwich from McDonald's. Made with RSPCA assured pork. Until 11 a.m. Price and participation may vary. Upcharges and fees apply to delivery. Subject to availability.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
With cybersecurity from BT. Security solutions built for businesses.
You're listening to LBC 9:33, not just covering the news, but making the news. My colleague, LBC reporter Joseph Draper, from whom you heard just briefly before the news, has joined me in the studio. What you got, Joseph? Morning.
Morning, Nick. We've had it confirmed literally in the last few minutes. Almost 6,500 Met Police staff, civilian staff, walking out on November the 5th, bonfire night. That is one of the busiest nights of the year for emergency services. We know theft, antisocial behaviour, crime skyrockets on bonfire night. Burglaries have been up by 100% in previous years, and the Met's going to have to pull thousands of police officers away from London streets now, away from crime scenes, just to fill those vacancies. They're essential to the force. We're talking 999 call handlers, custody seats, suite staff, even intelligence, forensics, and counter-terrorism staff as well. And we're told it's likely to cost the force thousands of pounds in taxpayers' money as it cancels leave and pays overtime. And the strike's being organised by the Public and Commercial Services Union. That's the same union that called for the Border Force strikes last week. They say it's after the Met rejected their request for the same London allowance that police officers get. And I've been speaking to the union's Met Police Group President, David Parrock.
We don't want to be on picket lines. We want to be doing our jobs. But if we're going to take strike action, we need it to have the most impact so that the message is loud and clear and hopefully change happens. Change doesn't happen. We'll have to take more action and we don't want to.
And Nick, as for the people at home, perhaps worried about their safety on bonfire night, the union says to take up their concerns with the Met's commissioner.
He is the one who has chosen to shortchange police staff at a time when they can't afford to be shortchanged. Our members have got no choice. We've got members using food banks. They can't afford to not receive that £1,250.
Now, interestingly, the PCS described the vote for strike action as overwhelming, but only around half of its members actually turned out for the vote, although those who did turn out voted 90% in favour. And there is the potential, Nick, for even more disruption. Unite Union is balloting its members. That vote closes today, so they could also take part in this strike. Now, as I said, this is a breaking story. We will bring you the response from the Met when we get it, but it's going to be a really difficult night for them.
What do you think, lastly, they might have to have uniformed officers then put into these positions where civilian staff would normally be?
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
So pulling away police officers from the front line, from crime scenes, just to fill these roles.
You heard it here first, Joseph Draper with that exclusive on LBC. Joseph, thank you. 9:35, let's come back to the conversation we're having concerning female health and the fact that much of it is rooted in the 1990s. Lauren is in Bury St Edmunds. Thank you for hanging on so long, Lauren. What is it you want to tell us? Obviously, I don't want to be too to pry too much. Good morning.
Morning, Nick. No, that's okay. So I was born in the 90s, so I don't entirely know exactly what the situation was back then. Okay. You know, the late 90s as well. But I mean, the way that women are treated now is terrible.
Yeah.
I had my daughter back in 2021, and I had a contraceptive. Thank you. I had a contraceptive implant fitted because I don't want any more children, basically.
Right.
It's not agreeing with me, and it hasn't been agreeing with me since they put it in. But they just won't remove it.
Can I show my ignorance? Do you mind asking where you say they put it in? Where does it go?
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah. It's in the top of your arm. So it's not a major procedure, yeah.
Oh,
they
wow.
just insert it under the skin.
Right.
And that's supposed to prevent
pregnancy. Okay, right.
You can get other ones that go other places.
Right, okay. Yeah, okay. You say it's not working. What problems is it causing you, Lauren?
So I've had excessive menstrual bleeding, basically,
right.
Just continually, which obviously does affect your day-to-day life. You know, I've got a young child to take care of.
Yeah,
I'm in a lot of pain.
Five-year-old, probably, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, just coming up five in January, yeah.
Right, okay.
But, yeah, so it's really painful. I also get migraines, which they can't get under control.
Oh, God.
So it's a nightmare. And the funniest part about it all is the medication that they've given me to try and prevent the migraines is the reason why they won't remove the implant.
Oh.
So it's just it's ridiculous. The doctors don't offer the service and the sexual health clinic won't remove it because of the medication that I take.
When you talk to your girlfriends, women of similar age, possibly some of them are mums as well, do you hear similar sort of stories about how women just don't feel they're being properly cared for or treated?
Yeah, absolutely. When I speak to women sort of a similar age to me, maybe slightly older, they feel exactly the same. That, you know, we're just not listened to. It's always put down to, you know, anxiety and things like that. That seems to be the main one. You know, you go to the doctors and they'll just say it's anxiety. And I feel like they think that women are these emotional beings that just can't possibly have anything physically wrong with them.
What do you think if you presented, I appreciate, obviously, it would be circumstances would be different, but you feel if you presented as a bloke, you'd be treated in a very different fashion than lastly, Lauren?
I feel like that way because I feel that, you know, I'm engaged to a man. When he goes to the doctors, obviously it's hard to compare because he goes for different problems than me a lot of the time. But I feel like he's listened to and taken a lot more seriously than what I am. And I've heard that again from my female, you know, colleagues and friends that they feel the same.
And is your GP a man or a woman?
So I don't actually have, I see a different GP every time. It's usually a man.
Right.
But, yeah, sometimes
so
a woman.
So what are you
going to
do? You can't continue with those bleeds and having migraines. That's no way forward. What are you going
to
do?
No, it's not. And I think the only way forward, really, is probably to put a complaint into the GP surgery and just say to them, you know, I'm asking you to help me here. You know, can we swap medication? Can we make a plan so that I can stop taking it for a short period of time? You know, I need some medical management in order to be able to go and get this removed.
Get better. Lauren, thank you. Let us know how you get on. Good luck with the 5-year-old, I think you said, in January. But that can't continue. It's this idea, thanks, Lauren, it's this idea is put forward, you know, this isn't some sort of think tank or whatever it might be. This is the Women's Health Ambassador on the NHS, Dame Leslie Regan, who is herself a Professor of Obstetrics and Gynaecology at Imperial College London, saying, and I quote, "We've really let girls and women down. Often I'm asked whether UK healthcare dates back, or the statistics date back to the 1995, not 2025. Elaine's in Bristol to talk about this. Elaine, what's your story? Good morning.
Yeah, my story is about endometriosis. It affects around 1 in 10 women.
Right.
Over a period of around 20 years, many suffer unbearable pain, often resulting in the inability to work, yet not enough is being done to find a solution. Women's health has been ignored for decades. I have an example. My daughter, after fighting for 2 years, she was diagnosed with endometriosis at the age of 17. She's only 19. Her situation isn't taken seriously. No blame of the NHS. They just haven't got the resources to deal with it. It's a sticking plaster approach. She's put on painkillers. And the last time we went for a scan, do you know what the consultant said?
I don't. Go on, please tell me.
Loads of women have got endometriosis. You're just going to have to live with it.
That's outrageous. I assume that consultant was a man.
It was a female, actually. And
doesn't that make it somehow worse?
Well, it makes it a lot worse, but what the economy doesn't appreciate is the number of women that regularly take time off every single month. So, you know, it is a solution that has to be found. And
is
I'm
your daughter
so
able to work or go to college or whatever it is?
She's 19 at the moment. She's got potentially 20 years of pain. Now, there are women far worse than her that have it's become so unbearable the only thing they've been able to do is have a hysterectomy. Now, there is no research into endometriosis. I just don't understand why it's not taken seriously, and I'm so pleased you've raised this.
Well, it's not me, it's Dame Leslie Regan, by the way, but yes, obviously we're giving it a bit of oxygen. Question.
Let
me ask you, if your daughter was your son, obviously it wouldn't be endometriosis, I get that, but is it your sense that whatever the condition was, the treatment would be better, though?
Well, did you know that research into heart disease was done on males, not females?
I didn't,
And females respond differently to symptoms of heart disease than men. So, historically, there's been more research into men's health than women's health. And I don't understand why women's health has been ignored for so long.
But just to come back on you, I don't know. So there's a question, and you don't think men's has? I'm not saying that a confrontational fashion. I'm just asking. You think we've put more time and effort into men's health than we have in women's? Again, I'm not.
Well, yes, but also men don't suffer the same conditions as females because females have reproductive systems that need to be, you know, that cause a lot of pain and anguish for, you know, the best years of their life. We're talking from teenager to menopause. So it's not an older age condition. It affects a lot of young people, and it makes their life a complete misery.
Lastly, what have you got planned for you? As you rightly say, this girl can't go on with this for decades. What have you got planned for her?
There is no solution. The last time we went to the, we had a scan in June, right? We had a scan. We haven't heard back since because she's not a priority. They've got so many people to look after in this situation. So the only way that I can manage this moving forward is to constantly phone and constantly demand consultation.
Give her my best wishes. Poor kid. I hope you get a breakthrough because that she can't have that for years to come. It's outrageous. Elaine, thank you. Sarah's in Leicester. Sarah, what can you tell me about the treatment of women's health issues? Good morning.
Morning, Nick.
Hello.
First time calling into the radio, so
lovely
a little bit nervous.
Lovely to have you on as a first time. Have you been listening for a long time, Sarah?
Yeah, big LBC fan, big LBC fan.
Fantastic. Good to have you on. What are you going to tell me? I hope your health is good.
Yeah, so it's getting better, actually. So, essentially, for the last sort of 8 to 10 years, I've been battling endometriosis, but I didn't know. So it all started with leg pain. And every time I went to go see different GPs, I was told, you know, have I tried physio? And I did everything that was suggested and offered. And I felt like I was going mad. And I was getting more and more symptoms. And eventually, I sort of, I suppose, came to a head with the situation when I saw this male doctor who I remember so vividly. He leant forward and kind of tilted his head to the side and said, Sarah, your life would be easier if you accepted that this pain is in your head.
Oh, goodness me.
And I, at that point, I thought, excuse me, maybe it is. And so it was from there that actually I started to doubt my own voice sort of personally, professionally, medically, and I sort of started to spiral with OCD because I felt like everyone's telling me that I don't have this pain, but I feel it, but they're telling me that it's in my head. So, and so, yeah, I ended up battling OCD and I've kind of got that under control now. But yeah, eventually they found an ovarian cyst just by doing a simple scan. So, this is to all the people out there, get yourself checked, go for your smear test. So they did my scan after that and found a cyst. Took that out, had surgery 2 Christmases ago, and then they keep you sort of monitored. So after that, they found that I had a ovarian tumour. It was borderline, luckily, so it was benign. But they ended up having to take out my ovary and all that kind of stuff.
How debilitating is that?
Oh, it was horrendous. It was really upsetting. And so all of this came, and this is kind of what I want to make a point about. It was one young female doctor who listened to me and referred me, and it took so long and I'd given up hope, but I kept on going. But if she had not have referred me and believed me, I don't know if I would be where I am now. Generally, in terms of my sort of female reproductive health, it's looking a lot more positive. We're hoping to start a family.
I didn't like to ask. Oh, that's really good news. So that can all function, or whatever the word is.
Yeah, but I see this real sort of fork in the road that had I have listened to that man who told me it was in my head, I spiraled with my OCD, I didn't, you know, I gave up advocating for myself. I think my life would be very different if I hadn't have met that young doctor.
Life could be very different. You might not be here.
Yeah, truly.
That's the reality, Sarah.
It's so underdiagnosed and under-discussed. And to be honest, any sort of female that I meet, it's the first thing I talk about, really.
Well, tell them we've been discussing. And hey, best of luck. Let us know, as and when the happy day arrives, that you and your partner or husband managed to conceive. Sarah B., well, I've got to get to the headlines, but well done. You're absolutely right. It's not voices in your head. It's issues in your ovaries, and that was the reality of it. Good luck with all of that. Just turned 9:46. LBC News headlines. Thomas Watts.
A major technical outage is affecting dozens of websites, online games and mobile apps. Efforts are underway to shore up the Gaza ceasefire, and the Metropolitan Police is being urged to open a full investigation into the latest allegations against Prince Andrew. LBC weather, sunny spells and heavy showers across England and Wales, Scotland and Northern Ireland. Drier today, a high of 16 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. Long delays continue on the M40 southbound to Junction 4 at High Wycombe. It's because a car was on fire earlier and one lane stays closed. Very busy on the M25 anti-clockwise to Junction 29 at the A127, and that's where a lorry has broken down. In Richmond, George Street is closed eastbound, a bus has broken down, and in Ashford, Kingston Road is blocked westbound, and that's following an accident, and that's also causing delays. On the trains, no Gatwick Express service is running at all, and Greater Anglia and also Stansted Express services are delayed now by about an hour and a half going via Broxbourne. On the Underground, there are severe delays on the Northern Line.
Coming up at 10 on LBC, James O'Brien.
So he's still not technically the artist formerly known as Prince. Has the palace gone far enough?
James O'Brien on LBC.
Want to own a brand new Ford Puma? Test drive a Ford Puma or an all-electric Puma Jenny. And you could win one. Take a test drive and you can be entered into our competition to win a Ford Puma of your choice. Search Ford Puma Test Drive. Book a test drive online by the 30th of November and complete it by the 31st of December. For more information, see ford.co.uk.
Call Nick Ferrari now, 0345-6060-973. This is LBC.
Keeping your smile healthy. At Darwood & Tanner, it's our sole purpose and absolute obsession. Whether you're missing a single tooth or many teeth, our streamlined patient journey, world-class dental practitioners, and advanced implant technology will get you smiling again quicker, more comfortably, and in the least invasive way. Darwood & Tanner. For our most comprehensive, tailored, and complete dental implant treatment, visit darwoodandtanner.co.uk.
When you go abroad, everyone knows the best way to make yourself understood is to say everything in English, but louder.
Four beers, please, garçon!
Just like when you amplify your advertising with radio. 40 million listeners every week get the message. See radio differently at radiocentre.org.
Train to Chichester. Flasks filled, snacks packed, all ready for Maisie's first stargazing adventure.
Come on, Maisie! Follow everyone up to the top of that hill.
Oh, look, that one's the plough.
Shooting star! Oh, wow!
Oh, made it. Last train back and feeling cosmic. And it seems we have an astronaut in the making. Download the Southern Railway app to book kids' tickets for £2 on off-peak journeys. Southern Railway, where every stop is a story.
I'm telling you, raise taxes, that's how.
Cut spending, less waste, more sense.
Move north, get more for your money.
Until winter hits your heating bill.
Fair.
Up to 9.13% annual return. We all agree that's strong.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's hard to ignore.
Cufflink. Auto-invest property-backed from £500. Visit cufflink.com. That's K-U-F-L-I-N-K. Register your interest today. Your capital is at risk. Tax rules apply to IFIs and may be subject to change. Cufflink is authorised and regulated by the FCA.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
With cybersecurity from BT. Protecting businesses of all sizes against cyber threats.
As we go into the last section of today's show, I wonder if you'll indulge me just for a minute as I offer my condolences to the family of a journalist who I've known for over 40 years. Some of you might know that the former editor of the Sunday Express, Martin Townsend, died just before the weekend. He was just 65. I've known Martin, as I say, for 40 years, when he was the pop reporter, or whatever they called his show business reporter, on the Today newspaper. And I was doing a similar job at The Sun, so I've known him forever. He then went on to be my editor for the column that I wrote, and I'm still unbelievably still writing. In fact, he held that post for 17 years. Now, anyone who knows anything about journalism, to have stayed an editor for 17 years says something about this man's abilities. And he was quite a unique editor, because not only was he a good editor, he was a good bloke. And that's very, very rare in journalism. So my condolences, of course, to Jane and his children, Benedict, Oliver and Cordelia. Your husband, or your dad, was a tremendous bloke and a tremendous editor. So condolences to all of you. Let's move on with the story that dear old Martin would probably have had on his front page yesterday if he was still editing the Sunday Express, which is the future, or lack of, for Prince Andrew. Samina in Tooting. What needs to happen now? Samina, good morning.
Good morning, Nick. Just three quick points, if you don't mind.
Yeah, please.
Firstly, nobody has to refer to him as, with any titles. And James has kind of pinched my joke, because in our house we say Andrew, formerly known as Prince.
Right, yes,
yes. We don't talk to him. And also, Emily made this yesterday on the news, said, why has it taken 6 years for these titles to be removed? So that's the first point. The second point, and you alluded to this, was that he lives in a 30-bedroom house.
I think it's 30-room, actually.
Sorry, 30-room house.
That's all right. No, that's all right. It's my job. Yep,
he has been offered a smaller house on the Windsor estate.
Yep.
Who's paying for his security, we need to know a bit more about.
Well, you and I are principally paying for his security, yeah. Of course.
And Rachel Maskell has also asked, where did that £12 million come from, the alleged settlement amount? Because we believe it was paid by the late Queen. Now, where did that money come from? Was it partly from the public purse?
Partly, that's the
second point. Yeah. She wants to bring it up in Parliament. And the third point is, I know the book is officially out tomorrow, Virginia Dufresne's book.
Yes.
And the King is visiting the Vatican later on in the week, I believe on Thursday.
That's right. I believe so,
now,
yes.
Now, the thing is, why would they make the announcement, I think it was on Friday, when they knew the book and the visit was coming out? Because if it was to die down the discussion on this, well, it's just ignited it. Because I believe the King was going to be the first monarch to pray with the Pope for 500 years.
Right.
And now all the discussion all this week is just going to be about Andrew.
What should the timing have been?
Well, either they should have done it a few weeks before. This visit's been in the diary for ages. The book's been... We knew since the summer that the book was coming out in October. Or they should have done it afterwards.
Or do you... Possibly you seek to reschedule praying with the Pope.
I don't think you can do that, because that would have been in the Pope's diary for months as well. He's a busy guy, probably just as busy as the King.
Probably is just as busy. How much damage has this done the royal family, lastly, Samina?
It's done quite a lot of damage. I mean, you saw those pictures of the Queen's cousin's funeral, the cousin's wife, sorry, a few weeks ago, where Andrew was laughing and
yep.
William didn't even want to speak to him,
that
and he put
Duchess
his hand
of
up.
Kent's funeral, yeah.
Yes, that's right, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think since then, it could have just been a little bit more showed some humility, or just not even been in the forefront of those pictures. So
a lot of people would agree. I wonder if, in a sense, certainly as regard his nephew William's view of his uncle, the Prince Andrew now, whether that actually was a pretty crucial moment. Samina, thanks for all your input on that. Let's talk women's health in the light of that report. Claire Williams in Anglesey, women have been underrepresented in clinical trials for decades. Only 4 to 14% of clinical trials look at women's data separately. It is a scandal. This comes in from Hinal. Your last caller was spot on. The research on women's health and specifically reproductive health is outdated. Doctors are underpriced. I don't know what that means. Prescribe pills and hormones, disrupting treatments rather than look up the underlying causes. There does seem to be something on this. Let's get some more of your calls in on this. Jenny's in Southwark. Jenny, what do you want to tell me? Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. My problem started when I got to 51. I'd previously been really, really healthy. And I developed these issues in the workplace where I started getting cognitive impairment, couldn't concentrate, couldn't focus.
Right.
And I think being a project manager on construction projects, it became a real issue. I turned to my GP and I was told that I had perimenopause brain fog.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm.
And he sort of said it really blithely, threw his arms behind his head, leant back in the chair. And I said, "Are you sure it couldn't be something else?" And he said, "No, just it will clear up." And so I was just left to get on with it. Later on, my whole life would fall apart. So I couldn't even manage my admin at home. And I went back to him and said that I had to leave my job in the corporate sector. I can't manage my life at home. And, you know, I'm relying so heavily on my son. And I'm a single parent at the time.
And how old were you at this time, Jenny?
I was about 51 when I left work in 2009.
Okay.
And he would insist that it would clear up. And I'd say, well, surely there must be some tests or assessments you could do to make sure it's not something else. But he insisted it's normal. And things just got progressively worse, where I literally couldn't function. And it took until I saw a female GP. I'd moved and I saw a female GP. And described this like extreme weight loss, loss of hair, loss of eyebrows, fingernails falling out, a whole host of things with the cognitive impairment. She said, my eyesight had gone. I want you to go and have a thyroid test. It then turns out I had hypothyroidism, a really nasty illness.
Oh, my goodness.
And they just said, take these carbamazole pills, take these pills and it'll get better.
How long do they reckon you'd had that condition then, Jenny?
They can't tell. They said it could have been 5 to 7 years.
And your condition now?
I still got the hypothyroidism. I couldn't get the pills to work. So I then thought, there's got to be something else. So I turned to the complementary healthcare sector, like naturopaths and nutritional therapists, and they were really thorough and offered me a whole range of tests, things I'd never even heard of.
And how are you now? How are you now?
I'm talking to you, but had I not gone to this alternative healthcare, I wouldn't be talking to you today because I couldn't even remember what I wore the day before or what I ate. It turned out I had heavy metal toxicity. I had lead, mercury, and copper toxicity.
And now you're getting better through all of that. Jenny, I'm so glad to hear that you're better or getting better. Look after yourself. Thank you. I have to finish with you because I've only got 1 minute left for Dawn in Brandon. You've written a book about your health issues. What is it called? What does it tell us? Good morning.
Hello, Nick. Pleasure to talk to you. I've been listening to you for years.
Good to have you on.
I've suffered with endometriosis. I did from the age of 15. Mm. I eventually had a hysterectomy when I was 40. Mm-hmm. After years of pain, surgeries, cysts removed. And I struggled. I had a great consultant. I was very lucky in the early days. He diagnosed me immediately just on my symptoms when I was 20.
Oh dear.
And drugs, hormone replacement.
I'm afraid the line is terrible. I'm just going to ask you to give the title of the book, Dawn, because every other word is clicking out. I'm so sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry, Nick. My book is My Story, My Strength.
My Story. Can I get your last name? I don't have to, but that
Dawn
might...
Ling.
Dawn which?
L-I-N-G.
Dawn Ling, My Story, My Strength. Dawn, I will have to leave it there because it was very difficult to listen to and there were so many clicks, but we did get the name of the book out there and we got the principle behind it. Thank you for your input on that. Now, if you missed any of today's show, listen back on our free Global Player app or the new LBC app, where you can stay up to date with all the latest news and opinion, put your news categories in the order you want, pause and rewind live radio and listen to a range of podcasts. Download the all-new official LBC app for free from your app store now. That's me for today. James O'Brien's the other side of the news on LBC. I'll be back with you tomorrow morning from 7. Meantime, stay safe.
Thank you, Nick. I forget what book it was, actually, when they talk about bankruptcy, and it begins first slowly and then quickly. And so it would seem Prince Andrew's current experiences could be described. It all falls apart first slowly and then quickly. This weekend saw the world's media massed on the metaphorical lawn of Buckingham Palace waiting to comment on and find out precisely what sanctions he would face for the latest revelations and developments. Although, actually, to my point about things suddenly speeding up, some of these revelations weren't actually new, as my learned colleague Emily Maitlis would tell you. But have things gone far enough? And think about this question. Why do you care?
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 10 o'clock, a major technical outage is affecting dozens of websites, online games and mobile apps. The problems appear to be related to an issue at Amazon Web Services, which sits behind many popular platforms. LBC's Henry Riley has the details.
Hundreds of websites have been taken offline or are affected in some way, from Roblox, HMRC and Snapchat to Duolingo, Vodafone and Fortnite. There are also a number of banks said to be affected. Now, the issue is linked to Amazon Web Services, which acts as a cloud service for various companies. It accounts for the majority of Amazon's profits. On their service page, they say there have been increased error rates and delays with multiple services.
LBC has learned thousands of Metropolitan Police staff are set to strike on Bonfire Night. Some 6,500 members of the PCS union, including call handlers and custody staff, are planning to walk out in a row over pay. The Met has been contacted for comment. Donald Trump's special envoy, Steve Witkoff, is expected in Israel as part of efforts to shore up the Gaza ceasefire. The Israeli military says it's begun renewed enforcement of the truce hours after carrying out a series of deadly airstrikes. They followed the deaths of two IDF troops in Rafah. Shosh Bedrosian is a spokesperson for the Israeli government.
Terrorists fired an anti-tank missile and gunfire towards our troops operating in the area of Rafah to dismantle terrorist infrastructure, all in accordance with the ceasefire agreement. Now, in response, the IDF began striking in the area to eliminate the threat.
The Israeli military says its troops opened fire on people who crossed the yellow line of withdrawal earlier today. Education leaders have welcomed the introduction of a new V level for post-16 students in England. The National Education Union says the changes will address a lack of coherence and clarity in the current system of vocational courses. They will replace level 3 BTECs and some other technical courses. Israeli police say public disorder and violent riots forced the cancellation of the Tel Aviv football derby. Supporters of Maccabi and Hapoel were involved in clashes last night. Ministers here are working to overturn a ban on Maccabi supporters attending a tie at Aston Villa next month. In the city, the FTSE 100 a short time ago was trading up 47 at 94.02. The pound buys $1.34 and a euro 14. LBC weather, sunny spells and heavy showers across England and Wales. Drier in Northern Ireland and Southern Scotland, a high of 16 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Thomas Watts.
Some companies try to reel people in by promising quick cash if you pay them to claim work expenses. But think twice before taking the bait, because they might just want to land a commission, and it turns out you aren't eligible to claim anything. You'll have to pay HMRC back, and it's unlikely the company will refund any fees. So don't get caught out. Check if you're eligible and make a claim with HMRC for free online. Just search, don't get caught out.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with James O'Brien.
Good morning. I am conscious of something rather problematic. And it is, and this is absolutely not a criticism of you, not in a million years. I'm never going to criticise you first thing on a Monday morning. Give me until at least 11 o'clock. But it occurs to me that you pay a little bit less attention, well, you possibly pay a little bit less attention to this programme than I do. Some people pay more attention to this programme than I do, which is slightly worrying, but also strangely flattering. When I say you might pay less attention to this programme than I do, it may mean that some of my Toto the dog moments, when I like to pull back the curtain and show you the increasingly bewildered old man pulling buttons and pushing levers, you may not have the first idea what I'm talking about. But I'm going to press on regardless. So there was a story last week, and it inspired a slightly surreal hour of radio, if you missed it. Might be worth listening back to, actually. There was a story last week which I think has forged a lens through which I am going to look at almost everything for the foreseeable future, for the next few months. You know that I sometimes sit here and say to you, I do not understand what all the fuss is about, don't you? Or I sometimes sit here and say to you, listen, don't pay any attention to what I'm saying, because when I was a newspaper journalist, my ability to miss a story, even when it was sitting on my own lap, was legendary. Countless were the times I opened a rival newspaper to see a story that I knew about on page 3, which is where the big showbiz story used to go. And I'd turn to my colleague, and I'd say, oh, I knew about that. And he would look at me with a sort of slightly winning combination of bewilderment and fatigue. I said, I knew about that. I was at that party. I saw that. Oh, okay. Yeah. Missed it again, did you? Yes, I did. I was his boss, poor bloke. Goodness knows how he coped with that indignity. But on Thursday or Friday, I can't even remember what day it was, but only one day last week, the suspicion I had that the so-called China spy case was a great big bunch of nothing in many, many ways, at least to you and to a certain extent to me, was confirmed in the most glorious fashion when we discovered that just 3% of the population described themselves as following the story closely. So I think one of the laziest things you can do on the radio is ask people why they care about something, except on the days when it's not a lazy thing to do. I probably should have asked you about that. If I'd asked you about that, why do you care, you'd have struggled to tell me, because what we witnessed was the most perfect marriage of increasingly unhinged right-wing politicians and their increasingly corrupt client journalists in my profession, in the media side of things, shifting in 24 hours from attacking Keir Starmer for intervening in a legal case against two alleged spies to attacking Keir Starmer for not intervening in a legal case against two alleged spies. That is a simple distillation of the entire story. Don't panic, we're not talking about it today. But that illustration of the madness, just how bad things have become, proof positive that I'm not exaggerating when I warn you about this stuff. So, I mention that solely because, well, I like to take you by surprise on a Monday morning, and because I am going to struggle not to look at every story now with a little side order of, does anybody actually care about this? Because you can't always rely on the people deciding what's newsworthy to decide what's newsworthy. I'm also conscious of the difference between public interest and public interest. You know, that was a public interest story. Of course it was. I'm not stupid. But the interest that the public had in it was almost negligible. I've struggled historically with royal phone-ins. The last few have been pretty good. The last few, somehow, we found the right way into them. But generally speaking, they're a little bit sixth-form debating society. Should we abolish the monarchy? When you get into the detail of things, should we slim things down or should we... No one really has much of substance to say. There's a little bit of fun to be had with the kind of people that might line the mail for the occasion of the king sneezing or something like that. That level of cultish devotion to the royal family can be diverting, it can be amusing. But we forget, don't we, the significance sometimes of, and perhaps the absurdity of the entire institution. And it is now pretty much the case that unless it's high days and holidays, unless someone has sadly passed away or got married or had a baby, the only time we really focus upon the British royal family is either when the Mango Mussolini is visiting to have his toes tickled by a visibly and suitably embarrassed Prince Charles, or when they are mired in scandal, when they are, in danger of disappearing under a tidal wave of scandal. And that's happened quite a few times in the past, never more so than with Prince Andrew. A quick aside before we get stuck into today's business. I find it deeply, deeply obnoxious that the Duke of Sussex, Prince Harry, gets lumped in with his idiot uncle as somehow being problematic. A military hero who has done more to point out the corruption of the British media than almost anybody else in